Okay. We're live here on WSOM AM 600. The number is 347-945-5229. We're up live on the Internet, so sorry about that, because somebody forgot to program the show, not mentioning any names. Jeff.
Oh, hey, here we go. You know what?
Hey, I'm learning from my president.
Yeah. So I am subsequently George Bush at this particular time, right?
That's pretty good. You can be Bush's fault. Oh. All right. It's President Bush's fault. But what it does is these glasses, and they're about $1,000 for the glasses, and you can buy them. But if you go look them up, when you're looking through the lens, it does not obscure your vision per se. But you can actually see through them, and it will, if you look at something, it will go tell you what it is. It can give you information on it. And I'm not quite. I have not personally touched them, seen them, or bought them yet because it's out of my budget. But if anybody wants to buy me a late birthday present,
or me an early birthday present.
No, it's a late one because my birthday was 30 days ago.
Today, or me an early one.
Oh, you an early one.
We'll have to have a spaghetti dinner to do that, Tracy.
Oh, that would work too.
That can work.
But I want
fundraiser.
And so right now they're piloting Google Contacts, which will do the same thing. There was just a case where a woman got pulled over by a state trooper, and she had on her glasses. And they tried to say that she was actually had them on. And so she got a ticket for
texting.
No, it wasn't even texting. It was just having them on and using them
being
while driving.
She was distracted.
And so it was thrown out because they could not prove that they were on and she was using them.
Okay.
But it's going to be a phenomenon, and if you look at intelligence, the way that you see him and he goes and walks through different places and he sees things,
yes.
But he's standing there, I got a feeling it's going to be somewhere similar to that.
So kind of like you'll have your own GPS?
Absolutely.
Wow.
Absolutely.
Or like if you know how sometimes you struggle to remember a person's name?
Absolutely. It'll tell you, it will do that. It will automatically go and tell you who that person is based upon the person's facial recognition, absolutely.
But then don't you wonder what will happen to your innate thinking ability if you have that kind of a prompt?
It will be altered for the simple reason I can tell you this: GPS and using it
mm-hmm.
for traveling
mm-hmm.
makes you a dummy when traveling.
I would think it does. You would become it's just like anything now. You think you become so accustomed to having those helps that you. You don't rely upon memory. You don't rely. Nobody remembers a phone number. Nobody remembers, like you're saying with GPS, they probably don't try to remember the directions, the road numbers.
No. I mean, seriously, you don't. I mean, when I put it in going up to Cleveland, and if it tells me to turn left, I turn left. Don't pay attention to where it said turn left. And it just alters your ability of thinking, which is not good. This is my opinion, but I don't think it is good. Alabama, your mic's on too. I don't think it's good, but it is helpful.
It is helpful.
I can understand. You think these things are wonderful, but you should never let your innate sense of reasoning, understanding, memorization be diminished. Because any time those things can be shut down and taken away from you, then you're vulnerable.
And that's what I don't think people are paying attention to. And so don't get me wrong, these tools are a good asset, but we need to have a great balance, and that comes from self-control.
Well, I remember you saying when you were a girl and your mom would say, go look it up in the dictionary.
Correct.
And I grew up with that. You know, look it up in the dictionary. We had encyclopedias. You figure today you call around to different places to see who would be willing to take those things. Nobody wants them, but yet it's nice to have that ready reference in your hands for the people that are old school. And now you think if something did happen that we were interrupted with the electrical system, they talk about this magnetic impulse.
Bomb,
people will have thrown away all those hand references.
Oh, absolutely. I was telling you guys, I was cleaning out my my basement yesterday. I was trying to get rid of, you know, stuff that I have down there. And I have maps and stuff, and I wanted to throw them away, and I just couldn't because I realize now you'll never go get another one again.
Mm-hmm. Oh, everything, Tracy. I was going to say, you know, I hold on to stuff, and I'm trying to sort it out and get rid of things. But remember the old triptych books and maps you could get at AAA?
Oh, yeah.
And now I think pretty much they just give you, you know, like a computerized course.
They don't even give you a computerized course. They just tell you, you know, if you don't have a GPS, go buy one. Hold on, Dina. Alabama, your mic's up.
Yeah, I tagged in another video.
All right, I'll check it out.
He said a lot of stuff that I think you'll like.
I think he's coming on the first Tuesday in February.
I'm not talking about him. I'm talking about the video I tagged you in with somebody else.
Okay.
But I want you to check it out.
Okay, I'm gonna check it out.
First Tuesday in February.
You got a mic on or something? I'm on a headset.
You was on in the car, yeah.
Well, you got to take that off because I'm getting feedback from your windows.
Is that better?
Yes.
Yeah.
Thank you very much.
No echo.
But yeah, that's what I was saying though. Like, go ahead and
I'll check that out.
Yeah, I think you like. He said a lot of stuff about politics. He just breaks it down. It's pretty interesting.
Are you gonna watch the State of the Union address tonight?
Nice. Well, I was studying the State of the Union. I know the State of the Union. What's the State of the Union? 23 people are unemployed right now.
You need Deanna needs an interpreter and.
I do because I will watch it, and then when I'm done and somebody analyzes it and they think, oh, there were far-reaching statements made about this or that, and I think, really? When? And there was a clarification of this, and I go, oh.
Jeff, you going to watch?
Yeah.
Okay.
I'll watch it.
I know Six is going to watch. I'm telling you now, if he goes up against white collar and person of interest, he's out.
Well, I'll be there with you, too.
I'm sorry. It's nothing personal. But me and Finch have an affair going on, and no, I'm not doing it.
Didn't you wish you knew those people?
No. But I like their characters. Because you know, I've been in Hollywood long enough to realize these people are actors.
No. I'm talking about the character on the program. I know somebody who knew that much.
There are people out there that I know that much. Actually, I'm trying to get a couple of them on here with us to hang out.
Hey, well, I think your two sidekicks, three sidekicks are pretty good, you know. I mean,
oh, not like that.
Well, they're pretty good, though.
No, they're not.
You mean not like that?
Not like that.
Not like who? Who are you talking about?
I'm talking about technical people. You know, y'all just political people.
It depends on what you're talking about.
No, I want to know. You know, I like computers. I'm saying, if you want to excite me, bring me, you know, somebody that is a geek.
All right, guys, you hear that?
All right, well, you need the fourth man then. You've got Jeff and Sticks and Matt. Now you need to get a fourth guy in there who is.
We got Alex.
No,
oh,
Alex
okay.
is not a geek. Alex is a nerd.
Alex is a geek.
No, Alex is a nerd.
Ask him when he comes on. Is he a geek?
Alex is a nerd. He is an
engineer. You
Alex
say that. I want to hear what the man
Alex
says about
is
himself.
A nerd. He ain't a geek.
Uh-huh.
I'm looking for somebody who wears, you know, thick glasses.
I want to know what he says by himself.
He wears. I need somebody to wear thick glasses who looks at a computer screen and clacks his teeth while he's programming.
Do you watch NCIS LA?
Every now and then.
Okay, they have that. They have that guy and girl that.
Yeah.
Geek, yeah.
And I like break folks that break code and think in numbers.
Mm-hmm.
Hey, I also want to bring up. You guys heard about the NSA is now checking you out when you're playing Angry Birds.
That messed me up so bad because, you know, I was an Angry Bird. I was hooked on it for the longest.
Maybe they put subliminal messages in that game.
I don't think they put subliminal messages, but I do think they watch your movement.
Oh, Tracy, I think they're tracking us every which way, and it's a concern. The little bit that I did hear about the State of the Union was that the president keeps asserting that if he can't get the support or cooperation of Congress, he'll use his executive powers to the fullest extent. He goes far over the fullest extent.
And he's going to go, and that's the problem. He's going, gone too far? This is going to be a problem, more so than we are expecting, because if he goes too far, the next one will go even farther.
But I still cannot understand why there's no group of powerful people that will check him.
What do you mean? It's not about checking him. You don't have the organization and or the media to help garner those people to help check him. You know, I can check him all day long, but if I look around and there's nobody behind me, they're going to shoot me. Speaking of which, Dinesh D'Souza was just indicted.
Oh.
And it had to do with campaign finance in the 2016
I'm Harper Keegan with your
in the 2016 election. And he said he's still going to put out another movie, no matter what. The man is the federal government.
Oh, that's Obama.
You know it's Obama. He punishes the people that speak out against him.
If you have
he'll point out the truth about what
on.
He's doing.
That movie was dead on.
It was an excellent movie.
They indicted him.
Well, Tracy, I wanted to pick your brain a little bit about the next presidential election and who you think the Republicans might put forward.
There's
talk still about Jeb Bush, and there's talk about Romney again.
Romney's not running.
I didn't think so.
Romney's not running. He's already come out and unequivocally said, "Kick rocks. I'm not doing it."
Well, no, he lost, and he deserved to lose because he did not do the number one thing that would have gotten him over. You know, that's the thing. And if he had gone to the Christian vote,
he'd have won.
He would have won, or he wouldn't have got trounced anyway. But no, he would have won that because
he'd have won.
Wait a minute, 3 million Christian Jews, Christians did not fight. Evangelicals, these are the ones that believe the Bible. Then another 50% of Christians aren't even registered to vote.
He didn't speak to it.
But
you asked me, I don't know. They're trying to push Christie back in the forefront.
I don't see that.
I'm just saying what they're trying to do. I don't know.
Well, the media's gonna give us Christie because they know he's gonna lose.
No. The media's gonna push Christie, but I don't think they can give you Christie right now. Because remember, you've got to understand, you've got to come out of the Republican primary, and getting a fat man through the eye of a needle of the Republican primary is going to be a very, very difficult task.
I say Ben Carson.
Ben Carson would not make a good president.
I disagree totally.
Ben Carson would not make a good president. Ben Carson would make a good advisor to the president because Ben Carson has not been political long enough.
That's a good thing.
No.
Because you're not supposed to be. That wasn't the plan of the Constitution.
But let me say this. But Congress would eat him up.
Herman Cain had it. He had it, man.
Herman Cain had it.
I do not believe that with the...
Sleeping around.
I don't know what he's saying.
Go ahead, Bill.
All I had to say was just that he messed it up because he couldn't keep his legs closed in his pants, and he had done that.
Alabama. He was accused of something, but there was no finding, and his wife never left.
And not only that, they just found out that the lady was lying.
I mean, you got to understand, this is a political game.
We need
to understand that, you know, I can say you summoned me all day long because I know you as Alabama. But guess what? I have never met you. But I can lie on you all day. And some people will believe
it. They will believe it. And I'll believe it enough to
And your
to
wife, if it comes out on the news long enough, tight enough, your wife, you got to go home and answer to all that.
Well, that you got to blame that on Romney and all of them. They didn't want to
hold on, hold on a little bit. What'd you see, Deanna?
I was going to say, then you anticipate what more harassment could come, and if your family, you know,
can endure it.
That's right. And then you think, is this, you know, is this worth it?
What did we see in Alabama?
I was saying Romney did that. That's why when they said 200,000 votes all went for out of one county in Ohio, all Obama, all. I just knew then. I said, okay, now if he's not going to fight for this, he was bought out.
But let me say this.
There's
no, Romney was.
There's no way. There are all types of counties all over the country, 100% Obama. And I'm from Montgomery. It ain't 100% Obama. It is all black.
I'm telling you, you got to understand where we are. They did the same thing with Bill Clinton.
Sure did.
They thought that there was fraud going on with Bill Clinton because he was, like, knocking them down and striking them out here in Youngstown, where I'm from. That was 100% Bill Clinton. This is not new in this quadrant.
Wait. It can't be 100% if there are one or two Republicans in that city. It's 99 point whatever, but it's not 100%.
Bill, I'm telling you right now, I am in the process of trying to recruit precinct committee people for the Republican Party. So if anyone is in Mahoning County, they're interested in becoming a precinct committee person, please give me a call at 330-629-7006. I would greatly love to speak to you, talk to you about that. It is a great part of your service as a citizen of the United States. Bill, I'm trying to recruit.
You don't want me coming up there.
Dang.
You don't want me coming up there recruiting.
That ain't got nothing to do with it.
No. We're talking about remember, the recruitment comes from a list. The list comes from registration, and the registration tells me if you're Republican and or Democrat or independent.
Mm-hmm.
Guess what?
Okay.
If you're not a registered Republican.
Yeah. Who's going to register as a Republican in Youngstown with all the stuff? Like, you see what I get every day. Now, who is going to say they're Republican when they know that 20 of their neighbors may come by and shoot in their house because they said they was a Republican?
Again. Voting, and even when they go and vote. I don't believe it's fraudulent in some precincts.
They're going to shoot your house up there if they have been did it.
Then that's why Jeff lives out in the suburbs.
You better believe it.
Is he afraid to be a Republican in the city?
No, I'm not. I'm a Republican in the city every day.
No, he ain't living in the city.
I do business in the
city.
He
ain't living in the city,
I do my jazz in the park in the city.
He ain't living in the city,
I go home to my nice, warm,
suburban home
and cool with a nice big backyard home
in
the
suburbs. That's what I'm saying.
You're a punk, Jeff.
Out past the freeway, right by our drinking water.
That's what I'm saying.
You're a punk, Jeff. You're a punk, Jeff.
I'm not a punk. I'm in the city. I play in the city. I perform there all the time. I do business in the city.
But again,
so once again,
a Republican in the city.
I'm not scared because I tell everybody who I am.
Y'all listen to me. Don't be paying attention to what I said. Jeff don't want to be a Republican in the city, so you pack up and go home.
That ain't why I did it. It had nothing to do with it.
Hey, the number is 347-945-5229. But I want to go back before I go back to my break. Dinesh D'Souza and the indictment. That's kind of sad.
Mm-hmm.
They tell me that, and the IRS is still overreaching with some conservative groups. Is that and that's really, really amazing.
Wait a minute. You have Chuck Schumer saying that they should do more to stop these people. How does that work? He should be taken out of office and impeached for saying anything like that.
You guys know I wake up in the middle of the night and I open my eyes and sometimes I have news channels on. Somehow I woke up this morning and I saw Al Gore talking about fertility and the reason for global warming and climate change. Global warming and climate change, and it was too many people, and it's going to be this destruction of the world because of fertility. Did anybody else hear that?
Why do you think they put chemicals in our water, fluoride and all that, and it stop birth, cause birth defects, cause the GMO foods? After three generations, none of us are going to be able to produce because of the fruit we eat. They're doing it on purpose.
Ben, what were you saying?
I, I had heard that he was talking again, but I didn't. I kind of tuned him out. I thought he was trying to explain away what was happening with the weather.
No, he's explaining the weather through fertility. That's why we're having all of these polar Arctic vortexes. I just couldn't believe it.
Is he saying people?
I thought it was supposed to be warm and hot, though. The ice caps was melting. Now it's too cold. Which is it?
No, you know what these idiots are saying. They're saying that the reason why this thing has gotten out of place is because of how warm it is, and the warm air pushed the polar, what is it called, vortex, out of place. You are idiots, because guess what? It's cold up there too, and it's freezing there, and guess what? Lake Glacier is almost a glacier again, like when you named it Lake Glacier. Because that's where it came from, here in Youngstown area, which is so, this is so asinine. I can't get that your mind could even bring yourself to get to that point, to say something like that.
I think they should take back his Nobel Prize.
They should have never gotten it.
Wait a minute.
They should have never gotten it, and I think they should recall it. They should, because for the institution of the Nobel laureates, they owe it to themselves to say they made a mistake in honoring him.
Obama needs to get his taken back. Obama, he's been out here droning and killing folks and trying to beat the war drums to go to Syria, and he didn't deserve nothing.
Oh, he didn't deserve that prize. It was ridiculous. That he even got it. That was so ridiculous. But the thing, see, they made him the second coming, and this is just really, really crazy. But and then you can't get people to see the truth because they don't know how government works, and they tell
and
you
just, that's what I said
yeah.
this morning, Jeff.
They
ask people questions and they don't know how to go. They don't get to the bathroom.
Yeah, that's true. But they don't even know how it works. They don't know why. There's no jobs right now.
Jeff, how can you know why there's no jobs if you don't know the difference between Congress, the President, and the Supreme Court? You're asking too much.
Well, did you see, you know, there's having specials about Jay Leno because he's leaving the Tonight Show. Because
he got fired.
Well, because, he's a little too controversial. But he was talking to a young woman, and he said, how many stars are on the flag? And the flag was blowing in the breeze on top of a building. And she goes, well, it's moving too fast for me to count. And I thought, now this is, this is how dumbed down our younger generation is, that they think they've got to try to count them. They don't know what they represent.
Deanna, can I tell you something? It ain't the younger generation. It's America.
Funny part about the stars is not 50, only one 11. Not 50 on there, though. It's not 50 stars on there, and a lot of people don't know that. I used to think that, too. So,
what do you mean
it's
not 50
like,
stars on there?
It's supposed to be. I was told it wasn't 50. I had never counted them.
No.
I mean,
listen, every state has a star.
Yeah, there's
now, there are some that have 49, and if you can find one with 48, you let me know, call me, and just send it here. 4040 Simon Road.
Okay.
But
they have
50 stars.
Doesn't mean you're stupid. If you don't know the three branches of government, then you got issues. But not knowing how many people may not pay attention to something like that. Oh, man, you don't know. I mean, we were told that as kids that it's supposed to be 50 for every state. But if I'm not mistaken, I was told that is not. It's not accurate.
Listen.
But if you don't know that your country is made up of 50 states,
you should know that.
How can you be? How can you live in a country?
Obama said
58. He sure did.
I know.
He said
that was a very revealing statement.
And he said he had been to all 58 of them.
He was nervous.
He wasn't nervous. He's just like Sarah Palin. He didn't live on the mainland that long, and he was not really accustomed to things. He didn't think a certain way. People don't realize that Hawaii and Alaska are not mainland America. They don't have the same cultures.
Absolutely not.
Well, you can't tell these people that.
Somebody told me that reference, though, was to something in the Muslim faith.
It very well, because he does that all the time.
But they said that 58 was a significant number.
Yes.
I don't know what it was, whether there were 58 tenants or there's 58 provinces or I don't know. But they said that the reference wasn't to us.
Look, Obama isn't from America. I think it's a very great case can be made that he's forced his birth certificate. He's not an American citizen.
Do you believe that?
That's why his college records were sealed, because he went to school as a foreign exchange student. And people that went to school with him said, yeah, he was a foreign exchange student from Indonesia. That's what he said. His own biography, he wrote his own book. And they brought it out some years. He's from born in Indonesia. He says it.
What?
So it's clear.
There were records that he had foreign exchange or foreign student financial aid.
Here's the thing. They have a guy. They have his actual college ID, picture and all, and nobody believes it, of course, because it's now 5 years into the presidency, and that everybody's given up on it. So they gave his college ID. He's listed as a foreign exchange student. That's why you don't see any of his college records. He turned summa cum laude. Show me he did. Show me he graduated summa cum laude. Show me he
graduated. Because he's a foreign exchange student. They can't do that.
Well, that's my point. That's my point. They made this man. They created him. Soros and the guy Geffen and them said, Obama is a blank piece of paper. We can make him into whatever we want him to be. He had no skills. He had no ability to do anything. You know, he had never done nothing but cause problems with community organizing.
Jeff, he practiced on his speech, and he even said in his book, he said white people will be willing to help him because he's not angry, he's non-threatening. He's a non-threatening guy because he doesn't look angry all the time. You can get people to do anything for you if you're not angry, if you put them at ease. And so he worked on, that's why the way he speaks is very well choreographed. Everything he does is choreographed, well thought out. And I have to say my hats off to him. I say hats off to him on that level as far as what he has people thinking. He hasn't done anything for black people. They will fight you to the death over this guy. But every time he comes around black people, he insults them. But they love him. I don't get it.
It's just like the girlfriend that has a man that beats her.
You have to realize he went to Jeremiah Wright's church to study the cadence. He went. I'm going to take a break in a minute. This is where I differ from Jeff and a lot of people. You know, he was very, very calculating, and he is not stupid by a long shot. And he calculated all of his moves. He has manipulated the system for his good since he began, when he got to Chicago. And he stepped over a lot of people. He learned a lot of things, and he allowed them to come and support him and then push them off to the side. If you go back and read his book by, I want to say his name is Klein. I can't think of his first name, but he was on with us. This man, he did everything by design. And, Geffen them just put the support in and refined him. But it was all a part of his plan. To actually do this, because he was manipulating the plan all along.
Well, when he delivered a speech at the Democratic Convention when Kerry was put forward for nomination, he spoke in an entirely different way. It was a very commanding speech. There was no hesitation. He didn't have that style of delivery that he has now. And he was very believable then. And he had a charisma. A lot of people were impressed with him. I was impressed with him then.
Oh, when he spoke at the 2004 convention.
Yes.
I got to take a break. I'll be right back. You're listening to Tracy and Friends here on WSOM AM 600. The number is 347-945-5229. We'll see you on the other side.
WSOM, Salem, Youngstown, Warren. Afternoons with Tracy and Friends. News Talk 600 WSOM.
Yo,
You're listening to the Valley's News Talk, WSOM, Salem, Youngstown, Warren. This is News Talk 600.
ABC News, I'm Richard Davies. Snow in the south. Atlanta is likely to get 2 to 3 inches today, and that's enough to have authorities warn people to stock up on groceries for the next couple of days. Schools and offices are closed.
This time we're trying to make sure that we look at those roads, we look at our conditions, and see that we are taking care of those conditions.
That's Ernest Slaughter with the Fulton County, Georgia Transportation Department. From Texas to Virginia, snow and ice is in the forecast. The deep freeze continues in the Midwest. Energy officials in Cass County, Michigan have warned motorists if they get stuck, help may take a while.
It may be hours before we're able to get to them.
Emergency official David Smith.
We may not know that they're out there, and they may not be able to let us know that they are stranded.
His advice to folks in Michigan, stay indoors if you can. President Obama delivers his State of the Union address tonight. It comes at a time of low approval ratings. ABC News political analyst Matthew Dowd.
The biggest thing he can do tonight is, one, identify how he's going to restore faith and trust in the government in Washington. That's the biggest thing lacking today. What are a few things he can do to restore faith and trust the American people in Washington, D.C.?
The White House says an executive order will be signed setting the minimum wage for workers now under federal contracts at $10.10 an hour. High-tech comes to counterfeit tickets. Two men arrested in New York City accused of making fakes for the Super Bowl.
The quality of the counterfeit tickets Damon Daniels allegedly made at his home in Queens was so good, authorities here said the barcodes would have scanned at the gate. Police and agents with Homeland Security investigation seized nearly 36 fake game tickets and fake parking passes, which have become as valuable a commodity. We're told Daniels also had counterfeit tickets to the Knicks and Rangers and concerts by Billy Joel, Mark Anthony, and Justin Timberlake. He also, we're told, had the gear to produce them.
Another example of high-tech thieves, ABC's Aaron Katursky. This is ABC News.
A lot can happen during the life of your Interstate car battery.
Nice ride.
Thanks. Want to go steady?
I now pronounce you husband and wife.
Honey, I think it's time.
It's a boy.
Jimmy! Soccer practice!
Dad, can I borrow the car?
Hey, nice ride.
Thanks.
Want to go steady? No battery lasts longer than an Interstate, and the new Interstate AGM lasts up to 3 times longer than the competition. To find a dealer near you, visit InterstateBatteries.com.
Hi, you can't see me because of radio, and I can't see you because I'm totally blind. My blindness doesn't hold me back. I fight to stay awake during the day because I'm not sleeping through the night. Often I struggle to concentrate and just keep up. Sound familiar? You're not alone. But this is not a sleep disorder. It's actually 924. Learn about the link between total blindness and your symptoms. Visit learnmore924.com or call 855-856-2424.
For the first time in 6 trading days, the stock market has opened up. The Dow Jones Index now about 100 points higher on the morning. This comes after a down start for the year and some volatile days. So investment experts say it's probably best not to focus on the short term if you're a saver.
Don't let it become emotionally overwhelming. Recognize that you're looking at this at a multi-year horizon.
Susan Schmidt of Mesirow Financial says stocks have staged a huge recovery since 2009.
Look at the last 2 to 3 years where we have seen some volatility in the market. We have seen periods where we've had an abrupt down of 5 to 10%, and we've recovered from that.
Schmidt says she expects the economy to grow more this year. Home price gains may be leveling off. According to the latest Case-Shiller Index out this morning, only 9 out of 20 big cities saw home price rises in November compared with the month before. I'm Richard Davies, ABC News.
Bosch is the quietest dishwasher brand in the U.S., and now Bosch dishwashers feature a new third rack that gives you 30% more capacity compared to Bosch two-rack models. See yours at Lowe's today.
Attention all healthcare professionals. Is your practice accepting new patients? Are you looking to grow your business? If so, listen to this opportunity. Our radio station, which is part of Cumulus Media, is publishing and distributing 20,000 free local medical guides this spring. It includes a physician's listing, as well as marketing opportunities for your practice. This is a great opportunity for you to attract new patients. Make sure your practice is included in the medical guide. For all the details, call me, Brad Marshall, at 330-779-8127.
If you're a homeowner who's faithfully made your mortgage payments, you deserve thanks for doing the right thing. And I'd like to tell you about a powerful financial tool that rewards your commitment. Hi, I'm Jay Farner, president of Quicken Loans. And the tool that I'm talking about is the Home Affordable Refinance Program, or HARP. HARP is designed to help you lower your mortgage payments. It's for homeowners who are current on their mortgage payments, but due to the housing market, may have little or no equity left in their home. And even if you were unable to get a HARP loan in the past, new guidelines mean that now you may be eligible. More than 2.5 million homeowners have already taken advantage of HARP and are saving an average of $250 a month. If you're one of the millions yet to take advantage, call us today at 800-QUICKEN. To learn more, call Quicken Loans today at 800-QUICKEN or go to quickenloans.com. That number again is 800-QUICKEN.
Important terms and conditions apply. Call us for cost information. Equal housing lender. Licensed in all 50 states. NMLS number 3030.
If it comes up, it goes out. Weekdays from 9 to noon, listen to Tracy and Friends, the local talk show that covers the valley issues that matter to you, plus global topics and news of the day. Tracy and Friends on News Talk 600 WSOM. Welcome to Tracy and Friends, weekdays from 9 to noon. It's the local talk show that stimulates your mind and keeps you thinking about things going on in your world. From local issues to topics of global importance, Tracy and Friends keeps the conversation going. Call to talk to Tracy and Friends at 347-945-5229, 330-781-9600, or toll free at 1-866-530-WSOM. Listen online at TracyandFriends.com or at 600WSOM.com. And now, here's Tracy Winbush.
Hey, we're back, and you're listening to Tracy and Friends here on WSOM AM 600. The number is 347-945-5229. I want to hear from you today. Jeff and I are sitting in here in studio, and I guess I got the Beatles on my mind because, you know, Deanna called in and said, you know, I wanted a little help with a little help from my friends. And then she sent me to, you know, they had two help songs, and I thought I'd play both of them.
Thank you, Tracy.
And we have issues. I have issues. Jeff just found out, you know, he's just finding out that people are indoctrinated, and we can't blame people.
No, they're not indoctrinated. They're stupid.
No, Jeff, they're
because,
not stupid.
Yeah, they are.
No,
because,
they're not.
You know why? Because the truth is right there.
Jeff, they're not stupid.
Okay.
Well, you want to know something.
Why do you look like a Cleveland?
I support my teams.
Okay. You look like a Cleveland poster boy today.
I am.
Okay.
I'm a Cleveland poster boy. You know that.
Well, why don't you have on the what they call the Phantoms and the Scrappers?
I can only wear so many teams at a time.
Oh, you got them all on now. What does that say?
That's the hockey team.
What hockey team? You got a hat that comes inside out, Chess?
Mm-hmm.
And it depends on what mood you're in, who you're going to support
that
day.
The Monsters of Cleveland, the Lake Erie Monsters.
So why don't you wear that side?
Because I'm not a Lake Erie monster.
You want to bet? Didn't you say you live by the lake?
Look at this. I live by our lake, not Lake Erie, which I'd like to live by Lake Erie. next best, closest best thing to living by the ocean.
Deanna, you asked me earlier who I thought was going to run for president in 2014. I believe John Kasich's going to run.
Oh. Hmm.
That's not
interesting.
Uh-huh. I believe that you got some folks out of the South going to run. I'd like to see Herman Cain rise up again. I don't think he will. I don't, and Jeff and I disagree on Dr. Ben Carson. I thought Ben Carson would be a great advocate.
I agree.
And a great surrogate, but as far as president, I think that would just president is so very difficult.
Mm-hmm.
It's more difficult than what we really understand. Holding elected office is a difficult task, no matter who you are.
Yes.
And it doesn't always corrupt you, but it always reshapes you.
Well, and I think it's you want somebody who is not a novice, but you also want somebody who's not jaded, who hasn't been too long, you know, in the the thick of the politics, so that they have become, you know, part of the established order.
Right.
I was going to say, though, an interesting twist when I listened to Barack Obama give that speech at the 2004 convention. There were a lot of people at the time impressed with him. I was, and I said, you know, this young man may run for the presidency someday. Little did I know how quickly, you know, that would come to pass. But I thought Ronald Reagan was an actor who became a president. And I thought Barack Obama is a president who has become an actor.
That's pretty good. That's good. I'm still that.
Well, I really think that he's scripted from a powerful group. I don't think that anything that he does is truly of his own thinking. I think he's controlled, and I think that's why he's out of Washington so much. You know, I mean, when they vacation, they just got back from Hawaii, and then he was, you know, planning to go off to see the Pope and have an audience with the Pope about the poor. Now, tell me that was necessary. I mean, I just don't understand.
It's a game.
But think how much of the time he's out of the country.
And he's supposed to be.
Well, then there are people who look at his schedule and they say he doesn't have anything happening till like 10:30 in the morning. Then he has a little briefing, and then he doesn't have anything till.
Listen. I don't go through the day of a man. I go through the acts of a person. You know, some people are not morning people. If you know, I function well in the morning. If the earlier I rise, the better off I'll be. After 5-6 o'clock in the evening, I'm spent. You really won't get anything too productive out of me, except for a smile. Period. You know, and I don't knock a man's schedule. You have to understand his philosophy and his ideology and his focus of where he wants to see America be, and his policies is what bothers me. I could care less how much Michelle Obama spends on a pair of shoes. Because I didn't care how much Laura Bush spent on a pair of shoes either. What I want is a person who is going to have integrity in that office. And that person is going to do the job at hand and make sure that America is secure and that the people of America have the ability to achieve the American dream. I'm reading right now, it's a wage comparison between Wendy's, Walmart, and Costco. Young lady works at Wendy's. She gets paid $7.35 an hour. A young man works at Walmart, and he gets paid $9.40 an hour. And a guy at Costco, he makes $22.80 per hour. So my question is, why is the girl that's working at Wendy's, why hasn't she applied at Costco?
Well, I hear you.
See, it's not, I mean, I'm looking at President Obama getting ready to start striking a pen and increasing minimum wage for people who are federal contractors. And I asked Jeff when I came in today, I said, who works for the federal government and going to get needs $10 an hour, minimum wage? So if you walk in the door and you haven't proven yourself, I should just pay you $10 an hour because you showed up? Now, federal workers get paid through federal dollars, even if they're contracts. And the federal government is broke.
Well, and nobody's working to pay those to bring in the tax revenue.
So we're going to go make some more money to go pay some more people more money instead of giving them an education, giving them what they need so they can go make it on their own in private industry. So all we're doing is inflating the government one more time, indirectly. Has anybody thought about that? Because even with the mandate, if they're federal contractors, where does that money come from, Jeff? It
comes from you and I.
So tell me.
You just pay more for the cost of doing business now.
So how do you do that when we're working at a deficit? Remember, I heard we were broke.
You are broke, and he's going to broke you over the edge because that's what his plan is.
It's a Ponzi scheme, the whole thing.
Nobody's reading his book. He tells you we have to tear America down so we can build it back up like we want it. So now they don't care who they hurt in the process. And the people that support him the most are getting hurt the worst.
Let me also throw this into the equation. I was talking to someone. I was reading the Sunday paper, and I was reading Facebook, and we have a local attorney who is a Facebook guy, and you know, you would think he would know better. I mean, seriously, you would think he would understand how the process works. And so, Jeff, when you call, I can't believe people are just that stupid.
Yes.
These people are not stupid. They're just dumb. They're ignorant.
And arrogant.
And that, too. But I'm watching them beat people up. And they know that there is more to this than meets the eye. But they feed into it and get a kick out of it for sport. People destroy people for sport. Politicians destroy people for sport. We know people who've done this, who've tried it, just because they can. Don't we?
Yeah, I hear you.
You know, I look at Trading Places, and we laugh and joke at Eddie Murphy and what he was doing and all that kind of stuff. Remember, they destroyed a man's life for a buck. It was a bet.
Mm-hmm.
Don't you know that that happens every day?
Yep.
Dinesh D'Souza, do they hate him or do they love him? Or are they destroying him just for sport?
No. They have to destroy him because his movie was effective.
It's a payback.
Yeah. That's what this guy does. That's his modus operandi. That's what he does. And, you know, how do you get away with stopping the people from organizing against you when you're running for your second term? How do you get away with that?
And you know, sometimes it's a patient payback. They let enough time pass between events so that you don't quickly, you know, make the connection.
Well, you know, it's going to really be something because I'm going to wonder and see what happens with these people after this thing here. You know, what is that going to do? You know, after he does this speech tonight, it's going to be the same things he said every other State of the Union speech.
Listen, I got to play a clip for you guys. Did you guys hear, you know, the president ran on hope and change, am I correct?
Mm-hmm.
Listen to this.
I know you're not in the White House anymore, but you're obviously
Thank
very,
God.
Very, very close.
Thank God.
No, there's a moment of honesty. But you're obviously, you know the president very well. We know what this poll says about how the country's feeling about him. How's he feeling about the country right now? I mean, this is a guy who came in 5 years ago saying change comes from outside Washington. We're going to break the fever. We're going to change the way Washington does business. We're going to get things done. And he's learned some pretty hard lessons in how Washington actually works or doesn't work.
Well, I think, you know, the ability to change Washington, I think, is something that long ago the White House sort of stopped trying to do. And whether or not that's a good thing, we'll look back on history. I do think.
Now, the president stopped trying to change Washington a long time ago. What happened?
News to me. I think he changed it all right. He didn't change it in the direction we wanted it to go.
Hey, South Carolina, your mic is on. I'm just
hey,
saying.
Hey, Tracy.
Hey, Mike.
Did you mean me, hon?
Yes.
Oh, okay. Hey, how you doing? May I make
I'm
a
doing
quick
good.
Comment on Dr. Ben Carson? I love
you certainly
man.
May.
I love the man, but he's too civilized to be president. He's too civilized to be a politician. He'd be more like Jimmy Carter. Nice guy, brilliant, and everybody'd walk all over him. And he's just not rude, bully, thug enough to be a politician. He's just not. As far as the comparison between Ronald Reagan and President Obama, there's another comparison. Ronald Reagan had an adversary who he called the evil empire. So does President Obama. The difference is he calls the United States the evil empire, and all our adversaries are right. We're wrong. That is the difference. And that's how I feel about that. And, yeah, and he has changed Washington with executive orders.
He changed America with executive orders.
Yeah, and it's just it's
because
just
once he tonight when he starts signing federal minimum wage through executive orders.
Yeah.
No one can come behind him and yank that back out.
Oh. I thought it could be changed.
It can be changed, but you can't. But listen, that would be political suicide. You can't do that.
Hmm.
How do you go from establishing that and setting a precedent?
I know.
And then all of a sudden saying you're going back down to wherever minimum wage is.
Well, you know,
when
that's true. You think all these entitlements, it'll be very, very difficult to take back.
And so that'll stand for 20 years before they'll add another nickel to it. That's how they'll get around it so that someday it'll be back relative proportion to whatever it is now. When you talked about the young gal working for seven and change versus all the other people, lots of times there's other factors that go into that, you know, like convenience. Like the other jobs would ask her to work weekends. She doesn't want to work weekends. Or it's farther from her home and she doesn't want to put in the travel time or whatever. There's other considerations why people settle for what they end up getting.
Well, you know, there There is someone though who has been successful in pulling back, and that would be Scott Walker.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I mean, he had a very difficult time in Minnesota, I believe.
Scott Walker, he's in Massachusetts, isn't he?
Wisconsin. You're thinking about Wisconsin, yeah.
Wisconsin, yeah. But he, you know, I mean, when you stop and think about it, he had to pull back from the unionized teachers, firefighters,
mm-hmm.
police.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
And he, mm-hmm. remember they had the recall election, but now they said that state is doing so wonderfully.
Yeah.
And you
it
just
is.
Wonder.
He has a surplus this year, almost $1 billion surplus, and he's turned it all around in like a year and a half. Hey, Tracy, speaking of jobs, you know, why is that girl taking that? Why, you know, where are you going to get the skills and all that? Did you catch the 60 Minutes piece this week on the Year Up program that a Wall Street trader left and being very successful and started a program, and he's got inner-city kids that would stand no chance. These are kids that couldn't even get a job bagging groceries, and he's got them working as interns in some of the big money houses, and he teaches them two things, and it's called the Year Up program. And in that year, he teaches them, like, how to look good in a suit and tie, how to speak correctly, how to do all those things you're supposed to do, and then he gets these kids jobs, and these kids are starting at 35 to 50,000 a year, their first year out of the program. And these are kids that couldn't get, one kid was talking, again, I got to go by sound. I think he was a Hispanic inner city kid, okay? And he just said, you know, a year before the program, he applied three places just to be a grocery bagger and couldn't even get a job. And here he was now as an intern. And they teach computer skills, IT skills, or they teach accounting. And those are the two things they teach and focus on, and they're expanding the program. They said within a year or two they'll have 100,000 kids nationally in the program. It's a 60-minute piece, and it's called Year Up. It's 1 year of their life. It's a boot camp, and it's like they teach them everything it takes to be employable. You just need a high school or a high school equivalent. That's all they ask of you, and you've got to be committed to your own success. They're not going to hold your hand and bait you.
I'm looking at something on Roland Martin.
Yeah.
Oh, let me close my ears first.
No, listen to this. No, listen to this.
Career you pursue. Every single one of you has a role to play as educators for our young people. So if you have friends or cousins or siblings who are not taking their education seriously,
Shake them up. Go talk some sense into them. Get them back on track. If the school in your neighborhood isn't any good, don't just accept it. Get in there, fix it, talk to the parents, talk to the teachers, get business and community leaders involved as well, because we all have a stake in building schools worthy of our children's promise. And when it comes to your own kids, if you don't like what they're watching on TV, turn it off. If you don't like the video games they're playing, take them away. Take a stand against the media that elevates today's celebrity gossip instead of the serious issues of our time. Take a stand against the culture that glorifies instant gratification instead of hard work and lasting success. And as my husband has said often, please stand up and reject the slander that says a black child with a book is trying to act white. Reject that. In short, be an example of excellence for the next generation and do everything you can to help them understand the power and purpose of a good education.
Okay.
Who was that?
That was Michelle Obama, the First Lady of the United States of America.
I want her as president. I want her as president.
She said more right there in five minutes than her husband said in five years.
Go ahead, Jeff.
I mean, but for what reason? You know,
go ahead.
You're not understanding what was just said, and you're not understanding what was just said.
Now she also
and
said,
why
she also said inside the same speech, she says, but today we have more than 150 years after the Emancipation Proclamation, more than 50 years after the end of separate but equal. But when it comes to getting an education, too many of our young people just can't be bothered. Today, instead of walking miles every day to school, they're sitting on couches for hours playing video games, watching TV. Instead of dreaming of being a teacher or a lawyer or a business leader, they are fantasizing about being a baller or a rapper. And like I said, a broke clock can be right twice a day. So I don't always agree, but when I agree, I agree.
Uh-huh.
But then this is Roland Martin's statement. But this is what's wrong with what he said, or with what she has said. Uh-huh. Now, this is how they pick on the President and the First Lady of the United States of America. At the most basic level, there is nothing more wrong with aspiring to be a rapper than there is aspiring to be a painter, an actor, or a sculptor. Hip-hop has produced some of the most penetrating art of our time, and aspiring much more.
Okay.
And that's just the first sentence of what he said. I'm tongue-tied now.
Mm-hmm.
What I'm trying to tell people is, you know, you can aspire to be a rapper, but you need to paint while you're rapping.
Mm-hmm.
You need to go to school and learn that you can be bilingual.
Mm-hmm.
Because the Grammys this past week just rejected all of you. Because the best rap song, they was done by white boys with their pants up, and they wasn't busting a sag looking crazy.
But they was but they were talking about what?
I don't even know. I don't know who they are.
I heard that song, and it was so vile to me. You know, we were taking Ariel, coming back from taking Ariel back to school. And I listened to this song, and I heard them dogging Christians and saying, you Christians ain't this, that, and other, blah, blah, blah. You better get up, get with it, and get in line and get with this thing for the same love. I said, oh, no. Well, you don't understand. See, a real Christian ain't going to put up with you making them say whatever. This is just the same as in the Old Testament saying, bow down and worship my God, or worship the emperor or the leader when he walks through. And Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, the real guy, said, uh-uh, we can't do that. We can only worship our God. Now, when are we going to have that stance? And I know that there's some Christians, and I know that there's some pastors and ministers listening to me. So I'm throwing out a challenge to you because of your inactivity. I want to hear from you about what we should do to stem the tide of immorality that is being evangelized by the leader of this nation. Where are you? You're the leaders.
If
what
you say,
bound,
if you say so.
Right. You bind on earth, it'll be bound in heaven.
But yeah, well, 831, your mic is on. Your mic is on.
Hi, Tracy. I was wanting to make a comment. Kind of hit a nerve. I think that it was inspiring that Michelle said, you know, let's take down the video games. Let's be in control of what our children see. I get it. But what are you going to do about all the government programs that suck from the entire tax-paying working force of America that put these programs into place, unlike the one that not-so-blind Mike just described, that there is one person trying something different? What about all these federal programs? All these laws, Agenda 21, we can go down, you know, a race to the top, community action. I mean, all of these things that are not working. I mean, we have a huge entitlement program, and we have people still homeless. We have people still hungry. We have
children. The poor you will have with you always. So my question
is, it needs to be fixed. It needs.
But my question is, they're not trying. That's just it. You know, I have. You know, we need to stop. Entitlement is stuff you get that you don't work for, that you use as a crutch, and you lean into it for the rest of your life. Programming is a stepping stone to help me get to the next level.
But Tracy, our politicians are using it to get votes.
Well, that's how America wants it.
I know, and that's but they won't come out in their little conversation and pep talks. And say, this is what we need to do.
Because that's not possible.
Won't get
because
you voted.
Because that means I have to work. See, you're asking me to work.
Truth.
No,
right.
Work. See, work. See, you're telling me that instead of you just sending me a check and no accountability, you're telling me that I have to go out and do something for it.
But I agree. I agree that children, I agree with what we talk about here on this radio station. Children want to work. Children want to learn. So kids want to do the right thing. By their own natural nature, children want to do the right thing. They want to be accepted. They don't want to misbehave. You know, they just don't. That's all just a lie. Kids want to learn. Kids want to help.
Well, if you give kids praise,
you got to have parents. Parents cultivate what a child wants. If you don't have a parent cultivating what that child wants, the Bible says if you train up a child in the way that he will have him to go, when he's older, he will not depart from it. Well, guess what? You got to cultivate what you get. You just can't say, well, listen, make them your new, go where I want you to go, do what I want you to do. Go ahead, Deanna.
Hey, Tracy, this is my own thinking. I remember when my grandmother bought surplus from the government because they were, they were low income. They lived in a town where the mine had shut down, and most of the people there got government surplus. It was like, peanut butter, flour, cheese. I can't remember how much, but I mean, it wasn't a lot, but it was enough that, it was a help. And the way I understood that was that, this was a surplus from our farmers that the government would buy and distribute. And then I think it got to the point where some lobbying group for the farmers said, rather than us, or maybe even the government controlled them and said, we don't want you to have a surplus because that'll affect the price of goods. So we developed the system of giving people food stamps instead of actual food. And now I look at our school programs, and children can get breakfast and lunch, and I don't know if maybe they can even be fed a supper before they leave school. But they used to tell us that they needed that food in order for them to learn because they were hungry and, malnourished. And I can understand that. Your mind isn't on your studies if you're hungry. But now I think we're feeding them a quality of food that is not beneficial.
That's not true.
And they can't. Well, when you
the food. Let me say this. I've been inside the school district for a long time, and I think the food is not as. When I say the food is bad, it's not detrimental. What the government did is they took the responsibility of the parent and put it in the school system. See, at one time your parents were responsible for feeding you,
right.
And so now they took that responsibility and put it inside the classroom and put it inside the school district and said we'll pay for it federally.
I hate to say it, but I think sometimes that's the motivator: get the kids to school, they'll be fed, but they're not focusing on. You know, feeding their minds.
But then, and that no, and that's not true. I mean, we have teachers who are focusing on feeding their minds. But if you take all the responsibility from the parent is the one who establishes the protocol of how that child will behave when he is no longer in their parent's presence.
I think maybe I'm miscommunicating with you. What I'm saying is the parents. The parents are sending them to be fed bodily, and they're also sending them to be fed. You know, mentally and intellectually, and it seems like the parents have absolved themselves of all responsibility.
They took it from them. We need to understand we have allowed our government to overreach to where it's no, you birth the child, but the government actually gives the child the rights, and they take over the responsibility for the child.
Well, I think the next step will probably be boarding schools. They'll probably just take these kids and
They're not going to. You already have it. It's called Children's Services,
mm-hmm.
Group homes.
Well, I think that's going to become a more pervasive thing because it's going to be, if you're not going to do anything at home, parent, I'm going to do it, you know, in the.
You have to understand, when you go to parent, I talked to a young lady yesterday, and she told me she has 7 children.
Oh my.
And she's still working a minimum wage job. And there you have to understand it's a more systemic problem. It goes to the root of something, and we don't want to deal with the root of it. We don't want to be honest with it. You know as I said, President Obama's wife, Ms. Michelle Obama, makes a statement, and as I said, a broke clock is right twice a day.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, I agree with this.
Yeah.
And right behind there, Roland Martin says, well, but they need to still, you should never put down being a rapper because the rappers have a, and I'm like, dude, you can sing, but you need to get an education and get a job while you're trying to sing.
I'd say it to him like this. How many rappers are out there that you know about, you know, making money? One. Then how many black youth are there, period? And then, we're not putting anybody down. What we're doing is telling you that, look, you're not. Everybody ain't going to be no rapper. So if you can't make it at rapping, you better do something to feed yourself, or else you're going to be starving on the street. But here, let me say something here.
But, yeah, hello, Tracy.
Hey, Stanley.
Hello, everybody. Hey, everybody. The thing is, the problem that you don't understand, Jeff, is that the young people are looking at us. And like the person said yesterday, which it was a 22-year-old, and he said he doesn't want to do the 30 years of sacrifice to have a great salary. He doesn't want to do that, first of all. He doesn't see
okay.
the point of doing that because he doesn't see the point of, because he goes with the example of his parents. If his parents had a salary of $40,000 and after 30 years of working his butts out, still has a salary of, let's say, from $40,000 to $45,000, and the person, the company, they see you, the kid's going to look at this and say, what's the point?
Well, Stanley, what do you make a year? Do you make $40,000
a year? No, I don't. I make more than that.
Okay, so if you make $40,000 a year, you're just exceptional, right? Why do you make $40,000 a year? Everybody else can't do what you do, right?
No, I took a chance and everything. I was sick of tired of working
no,
for somebody.
No. Well, Stanley,
that,
no, Stanley, I'm saying everybody, you're better than other people. You can't, people
no,
are,
not
you're
better
exceptional.
Than, no, I'm not better than anybody. I just was fed up. When I read, I've been doing IT for at least 10 years. And for 10 years, I've been working my butts off and everything. And I saw that companies had total power in me. I worked at IBM. It wasn't the same.
Stanley, you were probably making six figures, Stanley. I know you were.
Alabama.
You and I team.
No, okay, because, yeah, because I'm working my butt out. I have my own business. But I'm sorry, IBM used to have a philosophy, employee is number one. It's not.
Stanley, this is
Alabama.
Not. Young people have always felt they didn't want to do with their parents. I remember when I was a kid, 50 years ago, as a teenager, I was thinking about this, going, there's no way I'm going to put 30 years in a factory. No way. So I went out looking for opportunity, and I got screwed a lot, and I got cheated out of money and everything else. But sooner or later, I found a gig. And guess what? 25, 30 years have gone by, and I was finally making some real money. We all believe this. Every generation doesn't want to do what their parents do. They're looking for a shortcut. That's just endemic in being young and stupid and naive.
Go ahead, Jerry.
Well, no, it's not endemic of being young and stupid. Go ahead.
Stanley. Now, why are you against me saying that this is the land of opportunity, not of equal outcomes? Because you did the American dream. You went out and got it for yourself. That's what this is supposed to be for. And the ones that don't go out and get it for themselves are doomed to working for 30, 40 years until they did it. I worked 30 years. There's no doubt about it. And I worked several jobs for 30 years. I didn't work the same one. And I always had a business on the side, sometimes two businesses. Okay? So my point is this. So now I'm sitting here on the radio every day talking to you. Okay. Now, what did you do and I do to where we might not, I may not be rich, I may not have the big mansion, but I'm living, I get a check every month, and the only time I lost weight is because I was on a fast last week.
Yeah, I understand what you're saying and everything. I truly believe that we need to educate the young people and make them focus on owning a business or having your creativity, not using the diploma to have a job. I agree with you with that. And that's
a total philosophy
of school. We need to change the whole
hero worship.
Hold on, Mike.
There is a huge problem. I'm sorry, there is a huge problem because I'm tired of people like Tracy said. We go to school to become employees. We go to school not to think.
Stanley, that's because we're indoctrinated to believe that's what you're supposed to do. But you're not supposed to walk out of your mama's house that took them 20 years to get what they have, and you walk into another apartment that's going to be as comfortable as your mom's house that you left. And our problem is we walk out of our parents' home and we expect to go into an apartment fully furnished with full cable and all the amenities of life because we can't live without them. Go ahead, 212. Your mic is on. Is that you, Eric?
Yeah, that's me, Tracy. Yeah, that's what I was going to say, too. I mean, the caller yesterday said he doesn't want to work for 30 years. Well, he's going to learn the hard way that you don't work, you don't eat. That's all there is to it.
Tracy, I thought that young man, that 22-year-old that called yesterday,
yeah.
I thought he was inspiring. He was being honest. Number one, he's 22. He sounded as though he had ambition, and he had faith. He mentioned a couple times he wanted Jeff's Facebook page or whatever because he wanted to read up on some things. I thought he was inspiring. I think he was being honest. It's the times. You know, we all get disgusted. You know, did anybody else get their electric bill this month? You know, I mean, it's a little more than what we want
to
pay.
I'm afraid to look at that
even,
one. I am.
Exactly.
But you know what, though?
So he was being honest.
Hey, let me take a break.
Hey, Mike, you there?
Yes, sir.
Mike, the thing is, and I know, Stanley, you on here?
Stanley's with us here somewhere. Yeah.
Okay, the thing is, and this is the thing, like, I've done real estate, things like that. If you don't want to work, then you need to find a way to where you can passively make enough money to support your lifestyle.
Yeah.
Namely real estate, which is the oldest business in the book. I mean, I just don't believe in excuses. And the sad part is, I feel as though whoever that young gentleman is, I mean, it's easy. Go work a couple of years, get a couple of tax returns, go work on your credit, go to the bank, and, you know, try to get you some property, some rental property. Make sure that, you know, it's in a decent area where you don't have to worry about crime all the time and then tearing up your property. Mm-hmm. You know, with the interest rates are low right now, you can lock them in. Bam, there you go. Mm-hmm. Rent right now is so high. Rents are higher now because people can't afford mortgages. I mean, and then, you know, money's cheap right now. $550, you can borrow $100,000. In Montgomery, Alabama, $100,000 you can make if you buy a duplex. You're making $1,600 a month off a $550 a month mortgage.
Right. And like I said,
I mean,
I
that's $1,000 a month right there, passive income. You do that three or four times, bam, you don't have to work.
And
I mean, it's not
the
rocket science.
No, and when I was younger, I looked for opportunity, and I call it opportunity now. Back then, anybody who came up to me, because I didn't want to do the 40-year thing or 30-year thing because I saw too many people. My town was shutting down. It was a huge industrial town, and I saw people 3 weeks before retirement lose their job and stuff when I was 18 years old. So it scarred me. So I went out there looking for stuff, and, you know, con men got a piece of me and everybody else because, you know, I was looking for the shortcut for the 30-year plan. And eventually, you do along the way, if the student is willing, the teacher will appear, and I'll bet Stanley has had people whose lives he's affected, and like you, I know you've helped other people, and I know I've been blessed along the way. A few people crossed my path, and I was able to do a little bit of mentoring for 6 months out of their life and show them a different solution to their problem and stuff, and that's always fun to do. But that's what's going to happen. You're right. There's so much opportunity in this country. Even to this day, there's still a lot of opportunity. Everybody keeps thinking everybody's shut down all of a sudden. No, Stanley's still making
and
a
And I
buck.
Agree
he's
there is
the
opportunity. I agree with what you're saying. There is opportunity, but to change the opportunity, like I said, we need to change the mindset in school to
no,
have
not
people
in school.
Think.
It won't happen in school. Stanley, school never taught you
it starts
to
with
get
parenting.
Rich,
like you said, it starts with parenting.
Taught you how to read and write and taught you how to do arithmetic. That's all school was for. After that, it was what you went out in the world and with those few basic skills.
Yeah, I think ambition is innate. It's something that you just have to have. I mean, if you're not ambitious, then you're not. That's why everybody's not Kobe Bryant, because
no,
Kobe was ambitious.
Yeah.
No,
I was
Kobe was
ambitious. I count on as one of my friends, B.J. Dupree from the Dallas Cowboys. And B.J. has been going out there teaching these kids, look, and he's talking specifically about football. He says there's only 150 people a year that end up playing pro ball out of something like 150,000 high school kids who play ball. The odds are you're not going to get a pro contract. You still got to work on your education, you know. And he's been telling that to folks for years. But it comes down to the educational system never taught you to see opportunity. You know who's got to go back to school, Stanley? The parents. Parents ought to go to school and be taught how to raise children with hope and
with
opportunity.
I agree with you, Mike.
They're home playing video games and jam all their parents' butts into school for the next 2 years. Federal law, we shoot you. You know? and I think
you want to change the country by changing the parents.
I also think that when children become juvenile delinquents, and, you know, we notice that age is growing younger and younger.
And older.
These children
now are juvenile delinquents at 35 years old.
Correct. But they become incarcerated so that then the system lives, you know, it's another whole ball of wax. But when they're juveniles and they're 10 years old and they're acting up, I think they should incarcerate the parents. I don't care where the parents are. I don't care what the parents are doing. I don't care if he's the chief of police in town.
Mm-hmm.
That child and the mom and dad, and we're talking if they're split up, that's mm-hmm. fine. Of course, this is in a dream world.
Yeah.
But these parents, we yank them out of their comfort zone,
mm-hmm.
and we incarcerate them
some states make the parents financially responsible. When a kid messes up, and you're still living under your roof, and he's still minor age, they make the parents financially responsible. But you know what? You got a great idea, because think about this. Little juvenile jerk has to do 30 days. I don't care what the crime is. He does 30. But the same cell, dad's in there too.
Yeah.
Or whoever fathered that child. Now they got 30 days to talk it out. You think that kid is...
You know,
this
one
of
the
be a
best
lot of
things
honest
I did.
I mean, what else? You got people that lose their homes and jobs and everything for a 30-day incarceration. But I do like the idea. I just think there needs to be some sort of way where they can still work. I mean, because people losing everything is kind of counterintuitive as well.
You could have a credit suspension where for 30 days all the creditors know that he was raising
his child. I mean, if you got a rent, you let stay in an apartment, I mean, you're going to get kicked out. That landlord is not going to just agree.
No,
I would say just go ahead and let them go get out and go to work and then come back.
They can pass
you know what?
Like
but you know what, Alabama?
Service.
It's not easy being a parent. It's the hardest job you'll ever have.
Yeah.
And I truly believe, I remember when my 11-year-old, he is now 37, but when he was 11, he thought he was going to run away from home because of his household chores. Now, we've all been there.
Mm-hmm.
That was a silly little reason. But he packed his backpack up in his fishing pole, and he took off about, I don't know, 3-4 miles away through the woods. Mm-hmm. He was good in the woods, but the neighbor guy recognized him. He knew who he was.
Mm-hmm.
So he calls me, and he says, you know, we got Todd down here fishing in our fishing hole. It's okay, but he's got a backpack on, you know. I said, wait a minute. He ran away from home because he didn't like what was going on at home. So that night he came home. It got a little dark. He came home, kind of, you know, stuck himself in, you know, kind of slithered his backpack in a garage so he wouldn't know what was going on. So the next day he came to the dinner table. He's still angry, not talking to me. It's all my fault. I looked across from him. I said, you know, I knew you ran away from home yesterday. I said, I seen you. You were trespassing on, you know, the neighbor's property, and, you know, that's against the law. So let me tell you, when they turn you in, because I told him to turn you in next time, you and I are both going to the juvenile center together, and they're going to lock us up in the same cell. And if you don't like looking across the table at me every day, and it works.
Hey, we're back. You're listening to Tracy and Friends here on WSOM AM 600. The number is 347-945-5229. Pretty good conversation during the break. I listening in. Jeff and I were listening in. Deanna made a very good, very good point about when the child goes in for the first time, we need to put the parent in also, and the juvenile delinquents. Got a couple calls coming in. I'm going to pull them up. The number is 347-945-5229.
Good morning.
Good morning. How are you?
Good, Tracy. John Brown up in Warren.
Hey, John, how are you? Hold on just a second. I got a couple calls I got to pull up.
Go ahead.
Who is this? South Carolina, are you out there? I see Mike there. Hey, whoever has a radio on or is on a speaker.
You ain't pulled me up. You ain't pulled Alabama up. I'd have been on here.
You've been
just
talking about
my mic,
so I didn't
up.
Have to pull you up.
I was talking on the break. I had something else I was trying to tell you.
What you trying to tell me?
What's up with this weather, man? We don't get snow in Alabama, man. We don't get snow in Alabama. This is not
global warming.
We don't get snow, man. This ain't making it, man. I ain't living in Ohio. I mean, it's pouring down snow out here.
It's a polar vortex, man.
Yeah.
I'm working in Tuscaloosa. It's a little bit up by Birmingham. But even still, man, this ain't cool.
Mean this ain't cool. This is where you. This is how you roll.
This y'all weather. This what y'all deal with. Y'all live. I ain't got time for this.
Listen, it's 13 below here. It's something like what's the temperature, Jeff?
That's y'all. Y'all want to live up there at 13 below? I'm a country boy. I want to live. I don't want to get no lower than 50.
It was just 10 below to last night. It's going to 13 below tonight.
Yeah.
Well, how are we gonna get these kids
to
school? Eric, did your dog say absolutely not?
No, she's laying on the couch right now. Like, I ain't going out there.
You go out there. My dog did the same thing. Looked at me and said, "You got the wrong one, baby." 8314.
One more thing I wanted to bring. I gotta go.
Yeah.
I gotta go back. But
yeah,
I was just gonna bring up about this bank. This bank in Russia, they done started saying you can't take withdrawals out till next week. It's like they freezing people's accounts. I think this coming over here. I think eventually we finna get to the pump. They're going to start, probably for Obama to get up out of there, because I think he's going to try to stay in there longer than 8 years. But that's what I think is going to happen. Because it's going to get that bad. I'm telling you, it could be, I mean, I'm just being honest. I told you it's going to be like Mad Max around here. Y'all don't believe me.
Hold up. Hold up. 314, your mic is on.
Hello, is this me?
Yes, sir.
Hey,
okay, how are you doing, Tracy?
How you doing, Mr. Dover?
Just fine. Now, you've heard about the Michigan Governor Snyder.
Yes.
Calling for Obama to send him 50,000 green carders to move to Detroit. 50,000 illegals to move to Detroit.
Now, hold on. Green people that have a green card are not illegal.
Well, they got... Anyway.
That's not right.
Okay. He wants green carders, 50,000 green carders to move to Detroit. Now, surely enough, we got enough Americans already there.
No, the Detroiters ain't working. They ain't doing them jobs. There's some jobs out there. You can cancel Christmas. There's some Americans. They will not go out in the middle of the farm and pull no grapes and pick no. They're not doing it.
I think Mr. Snyder should be recalled.
No.
And along with the Idaho governor that gave 50 square miles to Chinese to come in and build a town in Idaho.
No, Mr. Dover, you're going about this wrong. Now, when you're right, and I'm with you, but you got this all wrong. There are things that are going on in America. People that have a green card are not illegal. And we need to understand that. Nobody that's here, except for black folks, came here. And it was their land when they got here. America has always been a melting pot. Now, people that come in the right one, they go get their green card, and they're working here legally. We need to let people do that. And we need to quit being so cynical about them and who they are. There are people that are out there. They work very, very hard being gardeners and doing things that Americans, in all of our glory, no matter how poor we are, we do not want to do.
Well, we've got illegals working on the oil wells too.
They don't, but that's because they're not illegal. Those people are not illegal. They may be working people, working immigrants, or working people. They may be on a work program, but they're not illegal.
They also tell you about Sapir meets with the Guatemalans up there working.
There's an underground of illegals that's in America, but those people, the ones you're talking about, they're not illegal.
Superior Meat used to pay good money, and I've had friends that worked there and really, liked the job because it paid good money. But they claim that Superior Meat is filled with the Guatemalans now.
There are people that are willing to work for a wage, but they're not illegal. Superior Meat, they're not hiring illegals. I promise you that. That's not where our illegal workforce is coming from. Hold on, I got to pick up another call. 314, your mic is on.
Thank you for taking my call.
You're welcome.
Hello.
You know,
Hold on, Pionk. Hold on, there's somebody else. Hold on, Pionky, you're 314, go ahead.
Who are you talking to?
You, go ahead.
Well, somebody was mentioning about the banks not letting you take your money. Bank of America was like that last year here in St. Louis. It wouldn't allow people to come in and take their money in large groups during the time that they was having the sit-ins. So you don't have to look at Russia to see that type of activity going on. It goes on right here, too, under certain circumstances.
I know. They're doing it right now. You can't take your money out of certain banks without telling them why you're doing it.
That's my money.
No, they're telling you. I just read it in the paper the other day. It's right here in America they're doing that. So that ought to tell you something, this thing is going down, and it's going down fast. Because if they're not letting you take your money out, they plan to do something with your money.
That's my money.
Mm-hmm. Well, it's theirs too.
We don't have shared money.
Oh, yeah, you shared it.
Yes,
with the bank.
Was a story. There was a story about the governor of Michigan is trying to get like 50,000 immigrants to move into Detroit and create jobs. And
yeah,
you know,
they have
Tracy,
all those houses.
Well, that's going to be the norm of all these major cities. These urban areas just now turned into desert. The Asians are going to come and they're going to build, and that's the way it's going to be. Well, the cities are empty. People left. And they couldn't make of anything while they were there. But you're talking about these green cards and people that's willing to do work nobody else is willing to do, well, that's fine. But then when you have a movement to raise minimum wage up to $10 to $20 an hour, then you have to question yourself, well, why can't you have a movement to raise minimum wage up to $20 an hour just to the point where Americans say they didn't want to do it no more?
I have problems with this automatic movement. I've got to take a break.
Hey, everybody's mic's on. John, your mic is on. They're going to probably have a conversation on in the break, but I'm going to go take mine so I can pay a couple bills. We'll be right back.
Hey, Jeff.
John Brown here.
Jeff,
where did Jeff
go? I don't think he can hear you right now. They're on break.
Are you the John Brown Trucking owner of John Brown Trucking?
No, I wish I was. But
okay.
You're not the John Brown that raided Harper's Ferry.
Yes. I'm back to haunt you.
I used to sing about you when I was a kid. Walking
home. Yeah,
that's
why I changed my name to Biff when I was a kid. I'm tired of hearing about John Brown.
What in the John Brown are you talking about?
They never sing about Boston King and Colonel T, who
right.
with the loyalists. They never
John
did
Brown
get.
John Brown was all around here. Is you know the real John Brown. His mom is buried in Hudson. There's a house he built his mom in Hudson.
Cool.
There's a mill in Kent. There's a place over in Akron. He has kids buried over right across the border in PA.
Yep.
He was all up around. He stored all the weapons for the insurrection up in Ashtabula County. There's all kind of John Brown history around here.
My lunch has just arrived, so I'm going to excuse myself and just go on to listen, Mo, so you don't have to hear me eating buffalo wings.
Okay. Yeah, I could have my own radio show during the break.
There you go. You do.
Yeah, my name's John Brown. I'm from Warren. I'm an old friend of Tracy's, and I was supposed to come down, and I don't know if I have fuel line freeze up or the engine's just frozen. Or my wife started her car and went to work. I moved my daughter's car, started it, then I went to start mine. It turned over and died, and then it just didn't want to start. So thought no use running the battery down. So
yeah, you
I
can
am.
Wait till the temperature get up to about 70. It ought to start.
Yeah, it's going to be a while. Maybe get some
so
of that dry
if
gas
you
in
were-
there.
If you were invited to the show for conversation, what is your topic? I have no idea who you are. Is there something?
Oh, okay.
Have you been on the show before? Yeah, I don't know who you are.
My name's John Brown. I'm a councilman up in Warren and friend of Tracy's. And we were talking last night on Facebook about redistricting of the city's wards, which I'm pushing and involved in, and so she said, "I want you to come down and you know come on and talk about it a bit." So it was nothing real formal.
Oh, well. Okay.
What did you do? Have a population loss or a population gain?
Oh, population loss, severe, 20% over the last 23 years from. That we're down at 41.5 roughly now. You know, we were at over 50,000 in the 90 census. So, you know, just like all cities. I think somebody was just talking about it, about people leaving the cities, you know. And Youngstown has the same problem, but...
Well, what about crime? I mean, you know, I have been to Warren, and the sheriff's department was always... you know, they had way too many people. It was always, you know, the crime rate was bad. Has anything changed like that?
I think it's a misnomer, the crime problem. It's concentrated
mm-hmm.
in a one area. I feel totally safe in downtown Warren, in my neighborhood.
You're talking from Route 45 to, what's the prison that's out there right out off of 224? What's the name of the prison that's out there?
The Trumbull Correctional Institute.
But it's got another name. There's another name for it. There's a little town right there.
Levittsburg.
Levittsburg, yeah, yeah.
Yeah, that's... And
how long
that's
has that Correction Institute been there?
It's been there since the early 90s. It was being talked about, you know, I don't know exactly when it was built, but I know in the late 80s it was first talked about. Jack Foley was the community development director, and, you know, he was the one that proposed it, and it grew from there. And actually that land was annexed into Warren from Leavittsburg, from Warren Township, and, you know, for water and wastewater. And there's 1,500 prisoners in that prison now. It's a state prison.
Right. And do they still not they still train seeing eye dogs or canine dogs?
They have a program there where you can donate your dog, and prisoners, you know, it helps the prisoner to have an association, you know, with the dog and someone to show care and devotion to.
And they still have, it's a co-ed prison too, isn't it?
I don't know.
I believe so. I think one section is...
it could be. I don't know. You know, it's a state prison, and those are pretty autonomous, and I don't know, you know, about that portion of it.
Mm-hmm.
But I do know that the prison population is counted toward our city population.
Really?
Yeah, and that's pretty much, that's, you know, done across the country. That may change in the next census, because there's a big push that people should be counted where they're from, not where they're incarcerated, that it skews the numbers of population. But that's way out of my pay grade, so...
Well, they should, because, you know, you have a predominance of black prisoners, black males in these prisons, and they live in these urban areas where when they leave, the population drops, then that's less community development block grant money that goes to those areas.
Yeah. Well, I think anymore the block grant money isn't divided up as closely like that. It used to go all off of numbers, but I know the theorem that they use to divide the monies up has changed, and that might just be because we're under 50,000 in population, you know, that I know about that. But
yeah,
well,
why come they didn't put those
we had a situation down here that the block grant was given to an area that truly needed it, but the administrators
welcome
just
to
screwed
Tracy
it all
and
up.
Friends, weekdays from 9 to noon. It's the local talk show that stimulates your mind and keeps you thinking about things going on in your world. From local issues to topics of global importance, Tracy and Friends keeps the conversation going. Call to talk to Tracy and Friends at 347-945-5229. 330-781-9600 or toll free at 1-866-530-WSOM. Listen online at TracyandFriends.com or at 600WSOM.com. And now, here's Tracy Winbush.
Mama, she's killed a man. Put a gun against his head. Pull my trigger, now he's dead. Mama, life had just begun.
On WSOM AM 600, the number is 347-945-5229, and I've got some people in the chat room, and we had an open mic. John's going to come in and hang out with us, and John, you're going to come in and hang out and talk to us about redistricting and the areas and the population loss in the Mahoning Valley. We'll have to do that again, because that's a topic that needs to have a focus to it. But you're more than welcome to sit in with us.
That's no problem.
Because that's happening all over the country, and it's, you know, as we talked about when Mr. Dover called in and talking about people from Detroit needing, and he's not looking, immigrants, I think that's a bad word. It's just not a good word. There are people here who are green carded, and those green card, there are millions of people that are in America that have green cards, and green
sure.
cards are people who are here legally. And
I
people
had
need
guys
to under-
in the Army with me that were green
correct.
Card.
There are a lot of
they
people.
They were U.S. Army soldiers.
But see, a lot of people don't realize that, and a lot of people are miseducated when it comes to, you know, people who are here in legal status and illegal status. If you have a green card, you're legally here, and you're productively here. Whereas if
correct.
You are, there are a lot of people who are that we don't know about who are non-green carded, and they are of total illegal status. And those are those 13 million people that we're talking about.
And that's,
people with
yeah,
green
that's
cards are usually on their path to actually naturalization.
That's true. You know, one thing, if I could chime in on the $10,000 thing with banks.
Yes.
I ran into that situation several years ago where I was buying a car. And I took I bought a used car off somebody and took like $11,000 out of the bank. And
ooh.
Later in the day, a lady called me from the bank and said that I had to fill a form out because any transaction over $10,000, the federal government had to know about because of drug money and things, I guess,
correct.
At that time.
That's how they implemented it.
Yeah. And then I filled the form out, and then, you know, I was a steel worker, so they asked for your job description. I put steel worker. And then later in the day, I got a call from some other busybody at that bank that wanted me to tell in more detail. She said, I don't think they'll accept steelworker as a job. And I said, well, they accept steelworker as a job on my tax forms, so I'm sticking with that one. And she didn't like that answer. But they've been doing that for a long time. You know, it's nothing new.
It started in the 80s. It started in the 80s where you could not take out money because people were transacting business and they were doing illegal drug trades. And
correct.
That's why you can't even go into a bank anymore, not bank, but into a car dealership anymore, and pay cash for a car without filling out some more forms.
Yeah, they make you they tag that and report it to the IRS.
And they did a lot of things in the name of drugs, but it's also in the name of watching who you are.
Sure. Big brother's watching.
And that tends to be we need to understand that's a problem. And that's why I'm telling people to be careful, because all these great ideas that come up, you think that, oh, this is good. Okay, NSA, they're watching us. Who cares who watches us? Who cares who does this? But that soon changes into something else that you can't control. And once you put let the animal out the barn, it's very, very hard to get him to go back in. The same thing is what's happening with this minimum wage that's going to be put into place by executive order by the president. You can't go back and change that.
Yeah, I just heard about that. You know, almost though that is maybe a ploy where I was on the phone with some people from Columbus a little bit earlier. They were telling me about that, and it's for federal employees only, they were saying. And so I said, well, really, it's a ploy, because what federal employee makes minimum wage?
Yeah,
well,
you're right,
Jeff,
about that.
But actually, Jeff, I asked Jeff that when I walked in the door this morning. I was like, who works for the federal government and makes minimum wage? And what Jeff was saying is, you know, you do have a lot in the Pentagon.
Everywhere.
You got people that are contracted. So they may be cleaning the place. They may be their concession stands that are there. All those people are contracted by the federal government.
Mm-hmm.
A person that's contracted don't make no minimum wage. But, you know, if the government
no,
wants...
No.
About the people that are employees. Listen,
this is what happens.
1099? They got their own business?
No. You missed the point. I say that I own, you know, ABC cleaning company.
Right.
I hired Jeff. I have the contract, but now that I have federal money paying for the contract, I now have to pay Jeff $10 an hour instead of the $7.75 I was paying him.
Right. That's what's going on.
Well, ultimately, the federal government is going to be paying more, right, in that case.
Well,
but I thought we were broke.
Well, that's you and me. You understand? So when this man,
well,
with a swipe of a pen, makes the cost of government higher tonight, you're going to see that they have to take more and more.
And he's doing this not because he cares, but he's doing this because he's trying to get his approval rating and somebody to affirm what he's doing. He's not doing it because it's the right thing to do.
Well, let me ask you something. If federal minimum wage is what, $7 an hour, and what did he want it to go up to, $9, I think?
Ten.
And why don't he just cut the federal tax on minimum wage workers, whereas they would keep the difference and be up to $10?
Oh,
they
do. No, he ain't gonna do that.
They already do. They don't pay taxes.
They do that. It's called earned income tax credit.
Well, let's do
it
up front instead
of
the
back
door.
Don't they? They still take it out first,
yeah.
And then you have to file and get it at the end of the year.
Right, that's true.
Right, but here's the thing. You know, I know somebody is I just helped them do their taxes on free file, but all the money they put in, it's probably right at $1,200 that they put in. They're getting it all back, plus an additional $4,000 from earned income tax credit and an additional child care credit. Now, if they were to use, and this is the kicker, they did have a babysitter that they paid for, but if they were to do that, they would have to report the babysitter, and the babysitter would get in trouble. And that would mess up her and their income credit too. So, yeah,
it's a racket. Hey, South Carolina, how's that weather down there?
Right now it is. It's below freezing. The wind chill factor has really got it pretty cold.
We're happy about that.
Yet, so. It's on its way.
South Carolina.
I know you are.
Welcome to the Midwest.
See, y'all just want misery loves company. That's what that is.
Absolutely.
Mm-hmm.
Uh-huh.
Hey, Sticks.
Hey, Tracy. I was just listening to what you were saying about these contractors. Now,
yes.
How does that work if I've got a contract with the government and I figured my contract bid based on $7.25 an hour, and now tomorrow morning I got to start paying the people $10?
He found yet another way to put people out of business.
So I don't know how that works.
I'm out of business tomorrow morning, it sounds to me like.
You're out of business, you just ain't making no money. You're working for free.
No, that's not what happens.
What happens?
You redo your contract.
No, Jeff.
Oh, yeah.
You can't redo your contract yet.
Yes, you can.
You renegotiated?
There's a clause in there that says that you can renegotiate. Yep.
You have to.
They're
have
the ones
to
making the
decision.
They're the ones dogging
contract.
You. They're dogging you.
I don't know.
I ain't
never
that.
Seen.
You got a contract for so many years. I can't see how there's something in there to renegotiate.
Because if you change any legal part of the contract, you have a right to reopen that contract with the government.
It depends on if I was smart enough to have a good contract.
No, that's
not all. No, Jeff. If it's not in the contract that if you raise my base, I can go renegotiate.
Well,
and I have to live out the life of that contract
until
negotiation when I renegotiate. I've got to have that clause in there.
Job.
If that clause is not in there, then I got to live out my contract.
It's not a clause. If it's in the job specifications, you can do that. But I've done GSA work one in all my career, and I don't never remember anything being in the job specifications said that if the government raises the minimum. Of course, we wouldn't make the minimum wage anyway. But
if they change the specs on there, I can go back and renegotiate with the government for that. I've never seen that unless you put that in there. Not all of them have that. Because who would think that the federal government would mandate that I change the hourly that I pay the people?
Right, never happened before.
Well, the thing is, with the Hobb Act, you got to pay prevailing wage.
The Hobb Act requires you to pay
prevailing wage. Prevailing wage is basically what the union wages are, and it's not minimum wage, so that won't hurt.
But that will hurt if I got a concession stand.
Davis Bacon doesn't apply to concessionaires. It only applies to like building projects and stuff. It doesn't apply to government concessionaires, cleaning people and like if I got a little sandwich shop set up or anything like that. Davis Bacon doesn't cover any of that.
None. They're not even a part of a collective bargaining, you know, prevailing wage conversation.
Yeah, when I commercial roofed, if we did a government building, Davis Bacon applied, and they had to pay us prevailing wage, even though it was a non-union contract.
Get David Stewart on your radio program. This black man just got a $6.9 billion contract with the U.S. government. See, does it affect him?
What does he do?
Worldwide Technologies.
I doubt it. I doubt it.
See, I'm looking at it's called the Changes Clause.
And you got to have it in the contract, Jeff.
No, you don't.
Yes, you do.
Will you please go look
okay.
it up?
No, you
okay,
read.
I just too much to read. There's a whole page, but it's called the Changes Clause, and it covers background, change clause for construction contracts, the purposes, cost reimbursement versus fixed cost contracts, causation, which it would be what this would be falling under, and so therefore you have all types of things. They will renegotiate your contract.
They will, or they're mandated.
They're mandated to. They're by law. I told you this
and
is
what,
by law.
By what state?
It doesn't matter what state. This is federal.
And so by federal government, they're mandated. If you have a federal contract, they must renegotiate.
They must, because they have causation. They've caused your work to go up by making a rule that affects you directly.
And it's called what?
Causation.
But I never seen it.
What's the name?
I never have seen it. Causation, change order
clause
is used when you change, when it's a change to the scope of the work. I never
well,
have
in,
seen it applied to minimum wage.
In contracting, they'll just add another 5 or 7% and say it's as a result.
Over there, over, yeah.
Right.
But with this
they
president
do,
that child voted
but,
for,
but,
I'm starting
Jeff,
to see all
good.
Kind of things.
I'm looking at it's talking about change order.
No, I'm not looking at change orders. I'm looking
it's
at...
It's a changes clause. I'm looking at Wikipedia and mm-hmm. government contract. It is required a clause in United States government construction contract.
The construction. It's not just covered construction, though. It covers all contracts. And whatever...
I don't think it does. I'm gonna do some more research.
Get somebody to do it.
I don't think that
sounds
covers
like
all contracts.
Sounds like we're going to have to lift the...
We need
the
a labor
billing up
to
again.
Call in.
What'd you say?
Say it sounds like we're going to have to raise the debt ceiling again.
Oh, that's already.
That. Yeah. Jack Lew already said that they're running out of.
We do it every month or so, right?
Well, March, I believe they're running out of money again. So.
Well,
heck, they knew they were going to run out of money when they ran out of money last time. Heck, I could have told them that.
But the debt spiral has begun. They'll be raising the debt ceiling every month, or they'll just open ended.
Yeah, well, that's what's happening now. At every month or 2 months, the debt ceiling gets raised by Congress. And that's one thing that the federal government doesn't have to balance its budget. State, county, and local governments do. People don't realize that.
I wonder why that is.
Because just like in your house,
states can't print their own money.
Right.
I want to ask a question. Why come states... legislators don't permit local communities to recall their school board members?
You know, we've been asking that for a while. I don't know. And I haven't seen a state yet that will let you recall a school board member.
That's
we talked about that.
That's something that should be put into effect, give the local community more authorization in order to control the destination of their school districts.
Well,
I don't know why they do that.
I would say by Ohio Revised Code, if you looked up, any elected official, but school boards, you cannot? Okay, I stand
school
corrected.
In the
I've never
of,
looked at it.
School boards in the state of Ohio, you cannot recall.
Okay.
I can recall you, but I can't
yes,
recall
ma'am.
School boards.
Okay, I never knew that.
At all. And I don't know why that is.
Good point. Probably goes back historically all the way back to the beginnings of the Constitution, 1803, the Constitution of Ohio.
Yeah.
But never
for misfeasance or malfeasance, I was under the impression you could recall anyone.
Nope.
And that's
nope.
News to me.
Think
so
you
I learned
had
something
public
today.
Schools in 1803.
Can you impeach a school board member for
sure
malfeasance?
You can put them in jail.
I know you
then
didn't
the other
have
board members.
And then there's a law that if you say you miss so many school board meetings, you're dismissed.
That may be more under a local jurisdiction, you know, local rules of a school board. But
that's ORC. That's
I did stay at a Holiday Inn Express once, but you know I'm not a lawyer, so I can't answer that one.
You can if you miss X amount of school meeting board meetings, you can be removed as a board member.
Sure.
By law. So that's the Ohio Revised Code. But you can't. But the local government cannot impede. It cannot recall and cannot remove a school board member for cause, just because you know you change your mind. Just like
well,
you, if you would any other elected
official.
This
morning, Tracy.
What's that?
This will warm your heart. The local people from the Mahoning Valley Organizing Collaborative are down at North Myrtle Beach, South Carolina, having a meeting this week. And so they're experiencing the same cold down there that we have up here. I know that breaks your heart, I know, Tracy.
Yes, it does. But at least they're not going on taxpayer dollars, so it's okay.
Yeah, that's true.
Enjoy. They might be going on ween money, but they're not going on taxpayer dollars.
Right.
Private caller, your mic is on.
This
Hello?
Is like an old party line. This is great.
Absolutely. Private caller, your mic is on. 8 the person out there that hit the button.
Yeah.
Oh, then he has to wait. Hey, but listen, I'm going to take a break. You're listening to Tracy and Friends here on WSOM AM 600. The number is 347-945-5229. It's 26 minutes after the hour of 11 o'clock. We'll see you on the other side of my break.
Howdy,
howdy. Thanks, Tracy.
I'm so excited.
Hey, guys, guess what? Hello?
Yeah.
Who's there?
Bianchi.
Yeah, it's cold. It's cold, buddy. Can you say witch's boob? Is it a halt? Are you cutting?
Hello?
Where's Jeff at?
I don't think he's there.
He's inside the studio.
So what do you think about the
We had discussion. We had discussion yesterday about Huckleberry Finn in the Bible, and I pulled back, but
yeah,
I was right.
Man.
The Bible's all in Huckleberry Finn. Mark Twain said it's useless. Go ahead, Doug.
What do you think about Obama doing what he's doing with the minimum wage? Do you think it's going to be a good thing?
I don't.
You think it's going to be a bad thing?
Yes.
Okay.
I think he's going to be able to increase the minimum wage of the individuals that he has under his control, but as far as across the board, that's going to take Congress, and that's the Congress to do that, which is it's going to be a little bit problematic.
It's not the first time we're increasing the minimum wage. What happened to all the times that we did lose a lot of jobs?
No, no, I'm saying he's increasing. He can increase the minimum wage for the individuals that are under his control in the federal government.
But he can't do it for the rest of
For anybody else, it has to be an act of Congress to do that.
Oh.
And that might be problematic for them. So, but, you know, the thing when you do that, minimum wage is minimum wage, but in most industries, you know, the wage is going to increase, you know, with experience and things like that. I mean, it's just kind of hard to artificially increase it.
Well, you know what he's going to do? He's going to try to do probably like what they done with the same sexes. They say and take it to the courts. Of course, say, well, if the federal government recognized, then the state has to recognize it. But see, that's another problem because some states don't recognize minimum wage for certain activities, like
exactly
your agriculture
like
states.
Minimum wage
don't apply to agriculture activities in those agriculture states. That's why your people come out of South America and head to those states and work on those farms. They don't have to pay a minimum wage.
Yeah, and also to that, it's not taxable either. There's no income tax paid on that.
Well, you pay income tax on minimum wage. Yes.
No. You don't pay income tax on farm labor, on income that you make.
But I don't know about that.
Yeah, you don't. No, you don't. Because I remember minimum wage was $3.85, and I was making $2 an hour on the farm.
You got any chicken farmers down there your way?
Oh, yeah, definitely.
That African-American owned?
We got the... No.
Let me ask you a question, South Carolina. Mm-hmm. What the hell do black folks own anymore?
Well, down here in South Cac, not too much.
I was looking for a goat producer, a goat raiser. And matter of fact, I got to call this cooperative, call him back. You can't even find none that do that. The largest one is owned by a Pakistanian down in Georgia, Newman, Georgia. Stanley, what come you don't grow goat, produce goat?
Repeat what you said. I didn't hear you.
I say, what come you don't raise goat?
No, I'm not a farm person and everything. Technology, no problem. But farming things and agriculture, I'm not strong with that. I'm not a manual person. Sorry, I'm not. That's not my strength. Wow. So tonight it's going to be the demise of Obama again for the state union, what he's going to say. So I guess so.
Well, Obama does do some things that I kind of approve. I kind of approve that he's pulling away from the Mideast and dumping Israel. Especially dumping them. He just ain't dumping them fast enough.
Yeah, but you know what people are going to say? They're going to say you need to protect Israel because Israel is the only place democratic for in the New East and blah, blah, blah. You know the talking points.
Well,
I don't know.
Mussolini had the Democratic Christian Party, but he was a fascist.
I want to see more hate coming from the left. Why?
I want the Democrats to continue to show their true colors.
News Talk 600.
This time, it's personal. The local talk show that keeps you thinking about local, regional, national, and global issues. Let's get back to Tracy and friends on News Talk 600, WSOM.
Okay, it's a clean day. A clean Beatle day. And you're listening to Tracy and Friends here on WSOM AM 600. The number is 347-945-5229. And I want to hear from you. I want to thank everyone who's called in today. Had a very interesting conversation. Put some calls out there to some people because I think Jeff is wrong. Jeff thinks I'm wrong, so we're going to go find out.
Mm-hmm.
I've got some friends who've done some federal contracts, and so we're going to call some lawyers in and say, hey, who's right and who's wrong? Because Jeff knows everything, and Mark knows it all, and I got to find out the facts. South Carolina? He's there. I see Mike is there.
Yeah, I'm
212.
Here.
212. That's Eric. South Carolina.
Yeah, okay. Yes, ma'am.
Do you want me to mail you down? Do you need me to send FedEx you a, like a, you know, some salt?
A blanket.
Or,
we got
or
salt,
you know,
man.
Like a shovel or anything like that?
Funny.
Can I hook you up?
No,
I,
we got it.
Are you, y'all straight?
We
you need some
it.
Water?
No,
can I help you out with anything?
Water. We don't need any.
Yeah,
no, we're good. We're good.
Send disaster relief down there.
I know
just
the whole state is like, stop.
There just ain't no bread in the store, that's all.
Let me send you a loaf of bread.
No, we good. We good down here.
Okay. I just want to make sure you're all right.
Okay. We're not gonna ice over. We're gonna get icy, but we'll be good. We'll be good.
Made a call during break. She says, "How's that global warming working out for you?"
It's not working.
It's not working. Let's see who's out there. Stanley, are you still there? Okay, let's try this one. Private caller, are you there? Uh-oh.
Who got dog?
I hear
Stanley
a dog.
Got eaten by the dog.
That's me.
That's you, Eric? Oh, that's the dog that
yeah,
won't go
me.
Outside.
Yeah, she ready to go out now.
How's the weather out there?
Cold.
You know, can you imagine what do parents do when schools close and they've got young ones? And they still have to go to work? Oh, somebody's got an alarm system too, I hear it. So what do you do when your children are home with you for days and you have to go to work and you have small children? What do? And daycares and everything is closed? No one has an answer? Jeff.
What?
What do you do?
You stay home with the kids or send them to a baby, give them to a babysitter or something.
But everybody's closed. I mean, the daycare is closed.
Oh, daycare, well, you got to stay home with your own kids. Or take them to work.
You can't stay home with your own kids.
Yes, you can.
Not at $10 an hour.
Well, they do.
Depends
they do
on what your job is. But.
What I'm seeing here, Tracy, they're sending the kids to the grandparents' house and making them watching them. Make the grandparents watch them.
Well, that works. I just didn't know what parents
no,
did when that happened because, you know, a lot of times you don't have any more vacation time. Not everybody gets that 6-day personal day vacation time. And so I don't know what you do with kids when they tell you that, you know, they're staying home because it's cold outside. And, you know, this is another, you know, rationale. You know, Pianchi's always talking about school. This is another rationale to have all year school instead of actually having – you know, everybody off in the summertime now. It would make sense to have schools not open in January when you have weather like this. But wouldn't you think? What, nobody's talking
about?
Like
yeah, I thought you were asking that.
I got everybody on the line and nobody has an opinion. I'll be doggone.
We don't have weather like this very often, Tracy.
I'll be doggone if I'm being the thing.
I didn't ask you to sing. I'm
that.
Trying to get you to answer the question.
I told you. I told you.
I got 700 people on the line. Hey, Alabama, you'll answer
what?
The question. What do you do with your kids when they're locked out of school?
Look here, they done shut down the schools in Alabama. Folks is panicking. It's crazy up here.
So, I'll see how y'all do.
Y'all shut down. Y'all didn't lock down the whole city. Even the mall's closed.
They didn't shut everything down. I'm finna go to some movie matinees or something.
You know, it's a wonder you're not on your way to the gym.
Well, I'm going to do that later on tonight.
I'm going to be upset if the gym closes today, because, you know, the gym's closed here when, no, when the weather gets bad.
They better not close the gym. It's the place to go when it's cold.
What do you mean that's the place to go when it's cold?
Well,
that's the place to go.
The problem we're going to have here in South CAC is, you know, they only have enough brine and salt and sand just for one, you know, for one day. So what's going to happen is they'll put it out today. And tonight and tomorrow, there won't be none left because they just use it all up.
But look, we're not sending you any of ours.
I'm in my water trying to thaw my done windshield.
Oh, no, don't do that, man.
No, don't do that.
No, don't do that.
Why?
That's not a good idea.
What is that?
You'd be replacing it.
What?
You'd be replacing it, man.
Fine.
Don't do that. Don't do
yeah,
that. That's
well,
not how...
Straight up and down.
That's not how you warm. Turn your defroster on.
Yeah,
your
leave it on for a long time. Burn some gas and warm it up slowly.
Don't put no one on that.
You go ahead. You go ahead. And you will have a big old crack in your glass, brother.
Don't laugh at him, Tracy.
They don't
right.
know what to do.
He just don't know.
They don't know what to do.
Listen, y'all quit laughing and tell me what to do. Now I got to go.
Turn
your
car on.
You got to bring your defroster.
Slowly.
That's why there's a defroster. It's not for people talking in the car.
Let your car sit for 5-6 minutes.
Maybe 10.
Yeah, maybe
10.
Right.
But don't put hot water on the windshield.
Put no hot water on it.
No. Oh, God, no, you'll crack your window.
That's right.
Well,
Tracy falling out of it. She's about to choke over here.
If it's July and your windows are fogging up, it's cold water you need for the people inside the car.
No, don't put cold water on the windows just because I'm telling you, don't even use windshield wiper fluid.
No.
Try it. I've done it. Been there, got a T-shirt. Just turn on the – that's why that little defroster, it looked like a little windshield when you turn it. It's not for, you know, it's not for trying to unfog the windows when you're kissing in the car.
No.
It's for the snow outside, for those people that live in the South. Alabama, is he serious about that?
Tracy, that ain't right. You didn't have to
tell y'all what's sad, though. I already had pulled one arm on the front windshield. It's fine to me. Oh, ain't nothing wrong. I'm sitting in the car now.
For the
Alabama,
in the
don't
south,
do that.
I got to make a dollar.
Hey, what they say? What they say? A hard head make a soft what?
and you know what you found us is to be true. A hard head make a soft behind all day long.
All day
just
long.
Say no.
Well, yeah, do not put hot water on.
Oh, he was like driving in the snow, man.
Alabama, there's a guy
that.
Who's listening to us out in California, and he said he's from California. He knows better than to put hot water on the windshield.
Look here.
No.
That's him. That's him. We don't get that down here. That's him.
I love you, though.
Okay.
You know you
for
my any boy.
For listeners in the South Carolina area, I have 4 of my old Yankee snow shovels that I brought down with me. They're for rent for $5 an hour. I had to get that in there.
Oh, let me. You know what, though? It only been snowing on this car for about like an hour and a half. It was completely, it wasn't no snow nowhere. So me pouring this thing here didn't really stop it. Now, if it's been sitting all night, I think you might have a point. But it was scared to let the window down. Snow going to fall all in the car.
Well, wipe it off.
I got to go. I got to hit the cold for the gate to get out.
You don't have a snow brush and an ice scraper in your car?
We don't got none of that. We don't need it.
Well, that's where you use the credit card then to clean your windshield.
You better
drive the credit card or your driver's license to clean your windshield.
No. Mike, you know those cars you get from all these, you know, all these companies? Don't use your credit card because you might need that one.
Yeah.
But you know all them customer service cards? Go use that one and get the scraping.
We
but if you go to AutoZone,
out of soda bottles or whatever we could.
If you go to AutoZone, they got
I hate this. They just shut down everything. They're messing my money up. I get paid by the hour, so I hate that.
You as bad as Alex. You worried about your paycheck.
You're done right. I'm trying to make. Lord have mercy. What's going on?
People don't want ice in their windows. You can throw a tarp over the roof of your car, and the ice doesn't get on your window. That's another thing you can do.
Yeah, you got to have a cover.
They fill the icer now, too, though. They fill the icer now, too. You can spray on the windshield.
Yeah.
But they don't really work, trust me.
If you put salt, if you put salt on it, it'll mess your car up. My homeboy car got ate up.
The paint.
Don't do that. Don't throw the salt. No, that would be
and
bad.
Some of your de-icers will mess up your paint too.
Just definitely don't use no hot water. Please don't do that.
There's no solution.
No, don't do it.
Hey, I'm in the car driving now. That's a done deal, man. Y'all should have seen something
it's
before
not
I
over
hit
yet.
The turn with
you. It's not over yet. Cause see, you ever see? Because somebody will come down and, like, hit your windshield, and it'll crack still. So you just lay hands on and pray about it. I'm a woman. No guarantees.
And for people who have windshield washer fluid that's only water, you better add something to it, otherwise that'll freeze up on you.
Hey, Alan, I hope it ain't snowing down there, because my whole girl got a thing coming down coming to Orlando in a couple of weeks. Right. So we just going to come down there.
Are you going down there? You going to meet Alex? Alabama, you going to stop in and meet Alex when you're there?
Yeah, I hooked up with him one time. We had a good little time. Got us some drinks, kicked it. Yeah.
What is going on? I need to, maybe,
you need to
I'm
get
in the
out
wrong
of
business.
Ohio more. You got to get out of your studio more, Tracy. There's a world out there.
Wow. Yeah, but I mean, people are making connections on Tracy and friends.
You know, hey, Tracy, you come down here, and me and Mike will show you how it goes on around here.
Yeah.
I'm coming down. I'm coming. I am one day.
First thing we're going to do is going to take you to that gourmet chocolate place that a black man owns.
I don't care who owns it.
Then,
chocolate.
I'm
just letting you know.
I'm going to show
you there is black enterprise here.
Oh, there's black enterprise all over the country. It's just not enough. I know that. I mean, there's black business everywhere. There's just not enough, not for the population and or for the gifts that have been given to them. That's the issue. I know that there's a lot of African American commerce, and there's a lot of people who are people of color that are doing great things that's not showcased.
Mm-hmm.
It's just not enough. Because when you see enough in all of the systemic problems that we see in our communities, it would change. You wouldn't see them anymore.
Mm-hmm.
Incarceration rates will go
down. Tracy, why don't you do me a favor and play that little video I put on your page?
You want me to play that?
You.
I got it.
It ain't number 3 minutes. I know you don't want to play it. I know you don't.
Yes, I do. I was going to play it tomorrow. No, you want me to play it today. So just for you, I'm going
to
play it.
Since I'm in the car, since I'm heading back, I might as well.
But I need to play it tomorrow morning when I start the show.
So we got all morning to talk about it.
Absolutely.
Well, look, I tell you what,
not
play it now so we have time to think about it.
You want me to play it now?
Then people can have something to think about, because I know they're going to have a reason to disagree with it. So, you know.
And listen, you asked me to turn my show on and leave it on after I go off the air.
Hey, it's folks up there spinning around like they're going ice skating in their car, man. It's dangerous up here.
Everyone faces challenges.
That's what you call non-driving people.
No, they can't. Tracy.
Give me that Kleenex, please.
When I was in San Antonio, lived in San Antonio, I saw people driving, you know, it was ice, nothing but ice. They were driving 60 miles an hour, and when the world turned, they did. They went right over
Jeff,
the side.
Same thing in Atlanta when I was down there.
Yeah. Oh, in Atlanta, I was in Atlanta in the summertime, right? And, man, it started raining. And I saw these cars pulling over on the side of the road with their emergency blinkers on. I told Tracy this yesterday. I'm looking behind me for the emergency vehicle. I don't see no ambulance or fire truck. I want to know what's getting ready to happen. And they cannot drive in the rain.
No, this, in California, driving when it rains, it's like snow. It's like ice. People can't drive, period.
Hey, let me ask y'all something. When you get on the highway... Like, I'm to get on the highway. Do you need to? How fast I need to go?
It depends on what the roads are like. But if I were you, I wouldn't try to do 65 or 70.
No. The law,
no.
The law in most
45,
states.
45 is fast enough.
Absolutely.
The law says that you have to adjust your speed according to road conditions.
And if you're not used to driving on this stuff, you better be doing a snail's crawl, buddy.
Yeah.
Because it will take you out.
I had police stop me one time, gave me a ticket for having my lights on. They wasn't on. It was like 10 o'clock in the morning, broad daylight, drizzling. He going to pull me over and give me a $150 ticket. Talking about I ain't have my lights on. Everybody else riding with their lights on.
Oh, he couldn't see you.
There are
you really
gotta, colors of cars that disappear in the rain.
That's right. He couldn't see you.
Listen, I don't care about no snow. I can drive in it. I don't care about no rain. I can drive in it, sleet, anything else. But there's one thing that terrifies me more than anything else, and that's that San Diego fog. You can't see nothing. Them folks out there in California driving that stuff like they're crazy.
Mm-hmm.
That is true. I've done that.
In, you can't see nothing.
Yeah.
You know, but you know, like when we had the state trooper on here. You know, you really just got to test your road and you got to know it. But you just can't be crazy.
They're only going about 45. They're only going about 45 on here.
That's all you need
to
do. Just take your time. And it's the same thing with people around here. Slow your road because, you know, it might be cold, but there's ice underneath that snow.
Mm-hmm. And don't make no sudden moves.
Yeah.
Don't do that. I mean, just take your time. Go around the corner slow. Don't even gun it. Maybe put it in neutral as you go around the corner.
And if you start to slide, take your foot off the gas and the brake. Do not put your foot on the brake.
Then
turn into the curve. Turn away from it unless you want to make circles in the snow.
Well, unless you want to go over the side of the road because that's where you're going.
There's circles in the snow. Ain't that circles in the
do
snow?
Do not lock up your wheels under any circumstances.
It doesn't lock up. It just spins.
Yeah, I know.
Will it go around in circles?
No, I understand that. But what I'm just saying is that's what people, when they're going in the wrong direction and they panic, they want to lock up their wheels thinking brakes work. Brakes are your enemy when you're sliding.
Yeah.
Turn your car into a sled by locking up the wheels.
I don't know nothing about locking up the wheels, but I know I've been in circles.
Oh, yeah.
And I've done it.
Uh-huh. I've been off the road twice in my life, and I don't ever want to do it again.
It's not a fun trip. Hey, guys, we're talking about this lightly, but those of you who are out there driving today, you know, please be careful. It's snowing. It's icy. It is winter. And the reason why you're off from work or you're on your way to work or your kids are home is because not only is it cold, but the roads, even though they look clear, they are bad in some spots. And you cannot see the ice underneath that snow, especially on the side streets. Hey, Jeff, what are you doing today?
I am doing nothing. I'm going home and doing work in my house. That's what I'm doing.
Huh?
It's cold. I'm not doing anything. I'm going home.
What is this with people think that it's cold? It's like a day off.
It's a day. No, it's not a day off. It's a day doing something different in the house so you – you don't do nothing to yourself. You know, it's cold out there. It is nothing for anybody to be part of.
Well, you know what you should do on the way home?
What's that?
You need to go home. You need to stop at Giant Eagle or at some grocery store or even Walgreens.
Mm.
Get you some Rick dye.
Mm-hmm.
And wash and dye that T-shirt black.
We will not be having any sweatshirts. Sports shirts, black. I have my brown stuff on, and she was trying to make the rumor that the coach left already.
The coach did not leave.
The coach left. He got a 5-year contract.
He gone already.
And we'll see. And he's going to be there at least a year.
So, maybe.
Yeah, he'll be there a year.
Maybe.
All of them make a year.
Maybe.
Who has left before a year?
Hey, listen,
no one.
Stranger things happen. Stranger things happen, honey. Don't worry about it.
Left the Browns before 1 year was up.
Yeah. they may have never left, but there's always a first time for anything. And
hey, did y'all say turn the defrost on? Was I supposed to turn the defrost on?
Yeah.
To have it up on the heat. Have the heat on, right?
Yes. There you go.
Yeah.
Yep. Defrost and heat. Alabama, you need to get you need some lessons. You got to,
man,
you need to come up here for
that is hilarious.
You need to come up here for some lessons.
That is hilarious.
I keep telling y'all the defrost is not unfogging the windows because you're talking.
Look here, man. We tropical people. Y'all know we tropical people now. Y'all stop.
Oh yeah.
I'm tropical too, but we live in the Midwest, and y'all need to learn. Didn't you read the book? Alabama.
Yeah.
Didn't you read the book? The one that the driver's test book.
The driver's test book.
Look, I read that book 20-something years ago. Ever since then, I just go in and just take the test off my head now. So.
Hey, you guys got to take your test again?
Yeah.
I would never.
Yeah, every time you got to renew your license, yeah.
All we do is go in and then they
take a picture. Take a picture.
Renew
it.
Touch eyes.
Yeah. They check
your eyes. Do you have to prove who you are to take the test, Alabama?
Yeah, you guys want that birth certificate, everything, man.
Okay, that's not a violation of your civil rights, like having an ID to vote?
No.
I mean, hey.
When I got my driver's license, they gave me credit for the years I was riding a horse.
Did they?
They should have. Because you rode the horse a long time, didn't you?
Still riding. So, Tracy, I think the states that's wanting to give illegal immigrants, undocumented people, driver's license, I guess that's right too, huh?
Yeah. That's California. I don't understand it.
Someone's 750.
I don't understand that. I don't understand all this, and I don't understand the silence of Americans. Outside of them not knowing. But then, you know, people ask me, what do I do? People don't know what to do to change things, even those that want to get involved.
Uh-huh.
Because we really don't want people to be involved, because if they learn more, then we have to answer to them, and we don't want to answer to anyone.
You know, my car just keep pushing to the side. What's up, man? This ain't getting it, man.
The wind.
I mean, you bet. 2 feet
going
over the side
15.
Of the road.
I'm going 15 right now. We ain't going that fast. You're going to take me
4 hours. 15 is obviously too fast.
Hey,
listen.
I got one for you. Put one of your wheels where the grass is or where gravel might be on the side and slowly drive then. That gives you more traction if you have the ability to do that.
Alabama, if you text me your address, I'll send you some kitty litter so when you get stuck, you can get out.
You sure you still on the highway? You done drove off on a lake?
No. I had to hit an off ramp. It's two highways. I hit one highway, then I got off on. I'm hitting another one now.
Sometimes
on
that happens when. Sometimes the car is still like that when you drive on a frozen water lake.
Yeah.
No.
Yeah.
It ain't that cold. Now, Pionki. Now, he down there, it just got cold yesterday or this morning.
Yeah.
Our lakes are frozen. His lakes are still, you know, if he walks out on the lake, he's a swimmer.
Yeah, he
is. You know what? Saturday, I was outside with shorts and a T-shirt on.
Uh-huh.
I mean, it's crazy, man.
Uh-huh.
Global warming. Listen, guys, I'm gone for the day. Have a good day. You're listening to Tracy and Friends here on WSOM AM 600.
Hey, Alabama.
Yeah.
Give me a call sometime later on today. I have something for you that'll help you fix one of your problems.
Now, you know another thing, too, Alabama, you can take tap water and pour on the windshield, but not hot water.
You shouldn't pour.
Yeah, that's what I did. It's okay. I can see. I'm going to stop. I got to get some gas anyway because I ain't got time to be walking in no snow.
No, you should warm up the car. And the engine's not good to be frozen like that cold. Cold starts are bad for an engine. Because the oil isn't circulating fast enough and everything else, and you know, every time you start,
it didn't sit but like about an hour at work, and then I had to leave about an hour and a half.
Yeah,
but it's pretty bad out here.
Yeah, if it was going to be cold, like sub 30s, and it was going to be like that for a week or two, then there's other things you got to do, like you got to put fuel additives in, ethyl alcohol and stuff to keep your gas line from freezing because of the water condensation. Gasoline's lighter than water, flows to the top, so you end up with all the water at the bottom of your tank, and you could end up with a frozen gas line. And there's all kinds of fun stuff you got to do in the winter.
Look at that. Somebody done ran off the road over here. This is crazy.
Yeah. And like, if you're sliding at 15, I don't care if you think 15 is slow, 10 is slower. And you got to drive down to the speed where you maintain control. And if that's 2 miles an hour, that's 2 miles an hour. It's the way it is.
You got front-wheel drive or rear-wheel drive?
Man, I'm in a little cheap car, man. I'm just trying to keep warm, man. I mean, I'm just driving this car.
Well,
it's
a difference when you spin out now.
Yeah.
Chill.
If you
Brad
spin
Jones,
out with back...
Homeless. Cold.
If you spin out with rear-wheel drives, if you concentrate on a central point in front of you...
I mean, wherever I spin, I try to aim the wheels, try like in rain, but this is different with snow.
Mm-hmm.
Well, it's different with a rear-wheel drive and front-wheel drive. And with front-wheel drive, you got to look at something through your rear-view mirror and steer to it.
My rear-view gone, but, man. Ain't got nothing but snow back there.
Man, you supposed to scrape that off when you got in the car.
I did.
And it's back on your windows now? Your car isn't warm enough that it's not that it's actually sticking to the rear window?
My rear window is covered. I can't see none of folks' lights, like barely see their lights.
Is somebody on the highway with you?
There's a bunch of folks on the highway.
Well, at least you ain't by yourself.
Right.
You know, sometimes fools.
Yeah. Those mountain
passes. This ain't, if it was raining, I'm guilty. I'll be out there in the rain going by 65. I done it. But snow? Uh-uh.
Well, are you driving south or are you driving north?
I think I'm going east. I'm going east right now.
Mm-hmm. Well, going east and south is the direction to go. If you're going north and west, you're going to get colder.
Yeah.
Just go and drive
going
down to Florida.
Actually, I can't. I'm going from Tuscaloosa to Birmingham. It's like a 50, 60-mile trek.
Mm-hmm.
Just drive on down to Florida. It's warm down there.
Yeah. How about those people in the northwest? They close certain mountain roads for the winter, and people will still go past the barrier, get caught in a snowstorm, and in the spring they find their dead car and them and their bodies in the car because nobody's been on the road in 4 months that's covered with snow. It
yeah.
Every year. Cause they don't
and they want tax dollars to rescue them.
Yeah, I know. I know. It's like, hey, it says closed, and hey, it's dangerous, you know? And there's a reason
hey,
why
it's this snowmobile, well, it ain't that thick yet, but it's getting up. It's getting there. If it keep coming down like this, tomorrow, it'll be snowmobile weather.
Yeah, or skis. Do some cross-country skiing.
I mean, it's going down like almost visibly. I can't see nothing past like a couple of hundred yards.
That's pretty good visibility. Lake snow effects up in northern New York, the snow is falls down so heavy, you literally cannot see out your window to your neighbor's house. It's like a white curtain from lake snow effects.
I don't see why folks live up north. I just couldn't do it. I'm sorry.
There are places up north, and people don't believe this, but if you go up there in the summer, you will see these orange soccer balls on a rope hanging off a telephone pole about halfway down the pole. And people say, what's that for? And they say, and they're saying, as the snow builds up during the winter, that's so that you don't accidentally drive across the power line to the top of the pole.
Right,
the ball rises
see it,
up. You can see you can see where a pole is.
Yeah, that's
the people will hang a left or right thinking they're at their turn, and they'll actually cross into power lines. That's how deep the snow gets in some parts right here in the United States. You don't have to be up in Alaska to have this kind of insane weather.
That's crazy.
I know. I don't believe that you prove you're at the top of the food chain for intelligence by living in one of these places that has that kind of weather. You don't prove anything.
Well, I mean, the mayor, the New York governor is like, we don't need you up here. I'm like, hey, good. You come on down here.
Yeah.
I'm like, man, you crazy anyway. Live. I ain't like New York anyway. I like trees. I'm not a tree. I didn't know I was a tree person until I went up there. I was doing a fashion week up there. I was up there for like 2 weeks.
Mm-hmm.
And I was like, I just noticed. That I'm like, I have not seen any vegetation.
Mm-hmm.
In 2 weeks, it's just city. I was in Manhattan.
Yeah.
I was like, I can't do it. I cannot do it. And they people love it. I'm like, oh, I like the South.
Well, that's why they have Central Park. There's a few trees there, and everybody lives vicariously.
I was actually in the Upper West Side, right? I was adjacent to it. But
mm-hmm.
I had to actually go to see the trees.
No.
Otherwise, you'll never see them.
No. I sit on my 10 acres here in the middle of farming country, and all I do is walk out my porch, and I can't see the distance, but I can feel the beauty. You know, you can just feel that there's something living around you, and if off in the distance you can hear the neighbor's animals, horses and goats, and and whatever else they're growing, chickens and birds and whatever they have, a bull or whatever, and you can just hear it. And it's like, well, I'm connected with nature here. And I was raised in an inner-city housing project. But fortunately, in the day, the housing projects weren't built downtown in the city. They were built on the outskirts. The land in the center of town was too valuable. Before they had shopping malls and stuff, all the commerce was downtown. Then the factories were the next ring out, so they built the housing project beyond that. So we were at the end of the bus route. The bus stopped, and we had a mile to walk to get to the project. And so when we used to leave the perimeter of the project, I could run out my front door, and within 100 yards, I'm in the woods. It was cool. So I had the best of both worlds. I was in the city and yet in the country as a kid. It was great.
Yeah, that defrost thing is actually working. I put it on. It's actually melting the back window now.
Yeah, and then you also need to make – there's two functions. There's your fan speed. You have to deflect the airflow to the top part of the window, so you have to actually call it defrost. And then you have to make sure your temperature control is slid over so that you're not just blowing cold air. You're actually blowing some of the heat that you're producing.
Yeah, you got to let that antifreeze warm up.
You think close the outdoor heat?
Close the
outdoor heat. What outdoor heat?
The outdoor vent.
Yeah. You don't need fresh air coming in at this point. You need to recirculate what's inside so you build temperature in it.
And if that don't heat your car, get you a Coleman lantern and put it on the back seat.
Yeah. Bianchi, do you remember the old gasoline heaters in the old cars that were up under the dashboard? Or is that
yeah,
Volkswagen.
Chevys and everybody. That was an external unit made by a company and actually had a gas line, its own little fuel pump, and man, that thing would heat up instantly and drive you out of the car. It was
yeah, Galactic. We know we are.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, you got to make sure you got plenty of coolant in that car, because if you don't get enough coolant, it takes forever to warm up.
Oh, I had a Volkswagen. I had to put a Coleman liner on the back seat and had to scrape ice off the inside of the window.
Yeah, well, because they had no fan and it was all just airflow. Yeah, remember that? Out of the running board where the vent down near the floor.
Right.
Yeah.
But that was the most mechanically sound car I ever had, I think.
Mm-hmm.
I must have put about 450,000 miles on it.
I had a 72 Valiant, and I was in high school, and I loved that car. I went and got me a Earl Shives $200 paint job.
$200?
Mm-hmm.
I had them chrome.
It was $99 when I had one done.
I paid a Earl Shive,
and I painted for $9.95.
I love that car, man. I got so many. I had a lot of people used to stop me at gas stations, ask me to buy the car, because it looked like an old 64 Impala or something. It looked like that, but a 72. It's kind of like the Dodge Dart. It was very similar.
I was
similar.
Just going to say that. Alabama, I was going to say another great classic car from the day for the common man was the Dodge Dart with the shifter on the dashboard, the push-button shifter.
I had a 78 Mercury Cougar. That was my first car. The thing was a boat.
The common man's car was a Ford Falcon 62.
Mm-hmm. I had a Falcon van. I had 1960. Ford Falcon van, and I bought another one for spare parts.
You know what?
I kept that thing running for 15
years.
I'm
like 25, right? This dude is on my bumper. We in snow.
Yeah.
What is he doing?
You let him go around you to just follow his tracks.
I can't defend his lanes because there's too much snow in the middle.
Let him go around you and wait for him to crash. That's what you got to do.
Yeah.
You'll see him by the mile down the road.
Do you have any plastic bags in the car?
That what? Nah.
The next time to be prepared for this kind of weather, you got to have a box of those big 100-pound contractor trash bags. The reason for it is when the idiots wreck, pull off to the side and see what's in their car that you might want to take home and loot, you know? And it's good to just put it in the trash bag, throw it in your trunk.
That's just talking. I've seen two wrecks.
Yeah.
Just that quick.
Yeah.
You got some quick bags in your car. You just got to run into something to make them come out.
Yeah.
I want
to hit. Yeah, you pick up laptops, cell phones. You know, pick up some blankets, boots. You know, there's all kinds of stuff you can loot out of a wreck. Of course, you know I'm teasing. Yeah. Yeah. Put a sandbox in the rear of your trunk. A sand salt mix box. In case you're stuck.
Hey, my battery's about to die. Let me charge this phone up. I see y'all.
Okay. Bianchi, are you from northern country? Are you up north? Are you from up
no,
north?
I'm from Missouri.
Oh, okay. Well, Missouri gets a decent amount of winter.
January to February.
Yeah.
2 weeks into March.
Yeah. Do you remember quick links that you could put on your wheels instead of wrapping on chains? They had the knuckle of chain with a little leather strap. You could put one or two quick links on each wheel just to get traction.
Yeah, I remember them.
Yeah, we used to have those.
I remember the chains, too.
Yeah. Well, we had the construction trucks because, you know, you're working off-road on a job site. And sometimes they get muddy, so even in July you wish you had chains or quick links to just get yourself up, you know, back to the road a quarter mile away, you know.
Mm-hmm.
Just do that.
Yeah. The public service, the buses used to have salt boxes on the
mm-hmm.
bus stop in case they got stuck.
Yep. Yep. City Sandlot, we used to do that, go down and fill up our buckets. Had a old orange crate in the trunk with a plastic bag liner and put sand in there to ballast the rear end of the car when we had rear-wheel drive so we had some traction. And we also then had some sand and salt with us that in case we got stuck, we had something to throw up under the wheels, you know. Yeah, and then he had flares and blankets and, you know, whatever. You know, you just never know what you're going to run into.
I learned that the beer bottles was made from sand by accidentally I used to take broken beer bottles and put them on the railroad tracks. The train run over and we go look at it. I said, damn, this look like sand.
Yeah, well, glass is sand. It's fused sand. They melt sand to make glass. That's how they do it.
Yeah, the science project.
Yeah.
For me.
Yeah. Sand's a very useful substance. Make all these computer chips out of sand, out of the silica.
We used to take the tubes out of our TV and go up to the drugstore and test them.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Remember them?
Yeah. Well, my dad was a TV repairman when I was younger, and yeah, and that was. I remember when that came in, and all the licensed TV repairmen wanted to get a movement in the state where these drugstores couldn't have tube testing machines because they made a good living swapping out tubes. And some guys were known as tube jockeys. That's all they were good at. They couldn't really fix the TV, but they could swap out tubes. You know.
Yeah.
You know, tubes.
Yeah, you know, those were some very simple days back then, weren't they?
Yeah. Oh yeah. And most of the time, if something was wrong with the TV or radio, you just had to fix a piece of wire or a little simple resistor or something. It wasn't all circuit boards. You could actually repair stuff in those days, you know?
Yeah, you had a schematic. You can do it yourself.
Yeah, yeah.
I learned very quickly about them capacitors. They shock you and knock you on your ass.
Drain them before you test them. Yeah, drain them. Make sure they drain before you take them out.
Yeah, you got to decharge them, discharge them, yeah.
Yeah.
That
but
and
you
the
know,
high voltage coil on the back of a picture tube, your TV could be off an hour and you still got 50,000 volts on the coil.
Oh, yeah.
Charge.
Yeah. And they'll hold that charge for years.
But I became an electronic hobbyist from tearing up stuff. I built my own TV with the, remember, heat kit back
yeah,
in the days?
Yeah.
I built robots. I had a robot. As a matter of fact, I still got one. They run around the floor and when his battery since his battery is going low, he go dock itself. And his charger was plugged up in the wall.
That is cool. They used to have circuit boards for training kids. Remember the piece of masonite with the little coils of copper spring on them so you could just wrap the wire around that? Everything was a quick connect, and you could lay out your transistors and build a radio on a board or whatever. And it was just it was a Radio Shack kit or Heath kit, yeah.
I'll tell you what, don't put a capacitor in backwards because, oh, they smell funky when they blow.
Well, you're supposed to wire it. Well, that goes for anything that's low voltage. You got to get the positive and the negative right.
I learned that the hard way.
yeah. But it was fun. You know, and it's fun, Bianchi. You know, when you think about the day, we're not talking about the kids that were the electronic geniuses. We're talking about the average kids. Could turn a wrench, could run a solder gun, could fix a washing machine, you know, could swap out tubes. This is what we did. We learned all this stuff. And, you know, it was our generation that invented all the stuff. The kids today look down at, well, you don't know how to do this.
Kids today
know how to use things. They don't know how to build them.
I was a ham radio operator. We used to operate on 2 meters.
Yeah.
And we used to do phone patches.
Mm-hmm.
I built a a walkie-talkie, I guess you can call it. We call it a handy-talkie. But it was about the size of a big brick.
Mm-hmm.
And I could go on the job and turn it on and take the had a touchpad on, and I'd get access to the repeater and make telephone calls.
Yeah. We used to have the I was just thinking about this. You know, when you used to go into the like I say, we used to repair all kinds of stuff, sound systems, everything. Remember you go in the old diner, you could sit in the booth, and they had the rock roller jukebox, and you could put your nickel in the booth and pick your song, and it sent the signal over to the jukebox and played your song?
Yeah.
You remember that? And all that was a simple on the AC current. They were using that as a carrier to superimpose the signals over to the jukebox and to send the signal over to the jukebox. And we had baby monitors that worked the same way, intercoms. And I remember in the neighborhood, you know, the parents would all meet in one parent's house to have play cards or something in the project, and they could still monitor what was going on in the house next door and stuff because they could get the signal over the AC current, and all the houses were sharing the same transformer. So they could send the signal
yeah.
that way. That was kind of cool. And
hey, I remember party lines on telephones.
Oh, yeah. And I remember the diehard people. The last two people dueling who could wear who down, because see if you went a private line was $1, a party line was 50 cents a month plus your call.
Mm.
And the people, it became a war of attrition, because now if everybody else dropped off the party line and got a private line, but you were still on the party line, you basically had a private line, except you had it for 50 cents a month, so you'd start this war of attrition, who'd last longer. You know? But yeah, the
mm-hmm.
party line. And, of course, as kids, we used to find ways to quietly pick up the receiver and listen in and unscrew the mouthpiece, put alligator clips in on the mouthpiece, the two prongs inside the mouthpiece, and run them through a tape recorder and put the tape recorder
on
the monitor.
You're right. You had analog. That's when it was analog then.
Oh, yeah.
When you had analog, you had a relay. And when you pick up that receiver, the current started flowing through the relay, close the contact, turn on your tape recorder.
We had all that stuff.
I remember back when you could find a frequency to a pay-per-view channel, and you could build your own converter and decode the signal. Those were the good old days.
The piece of antenna wire and a piece of aluminum foil slider, you made a filter. You made a capacitance filter by doing that. And I forget whether it was band emit or band bypass, but that's what you did. And you could hit the frequency by sliding the aluminum up the piece of wire, and you basically built a filter, a tuner.
Oh, yeah. I have HBO, Showtime, Cinemax, all that.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. We used to build those little boxes. Remember them?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
We used to build them and point them toward the regular HBO transmitter, and you could pick it up at your house.
Yeah.
I tell you something that y'all didn't do none. Making long-distance telephone calls at a paid telephone.
Mm-hmm.
We used to take the phone we had. Then we'd drop the coins in the phone next door, right next to it, and hold the receiver so they could hear it drop. Ding, 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 ding. Then the operator would go ahead and place your long-distance call.
There was some blind guy who, when the touch-tone phones came in, he had the ability to hit certain frequencies, and he could hit tones with his voice on a payphone and make international long-distance calls for free because he could trick the system. And they caught him at it, and I forget, they were going to fine him or put him in jail or something. But, yeah, and it was a whole article about him, the way he could hit those frequencies with his voice.
Yeah.
And he knew how to make the sounds, and he could dial a phone and call long distance for free.
Mm-hmm.
He knew how to get all the codes in there or whatever, yeah. That was as soon as three-way calling came in, there was nobody I knew that was going to pay a long-distance charge just to call somebody on the other side of the other town. So I spent lots of time during the day in the winter when I wasn't working just doing three-way calls for friends who live 40 miles apart.
Yeah, I remember across the street in some cases.
Long
distance.
Down in Florida it was that way. Yeah, you were getting a different area code across the street, and you had to pay a long-distance charge to call your neighbor.
In the hotels, you have put a quarter in the slot to make a phone call.
Mm-hmm.
Some hotels had them phones.
Yeah. If you're one of them people that like to talk on the phone while you're in the bathroom, between the coin-operated bathroom, the coin-operated toilet paper, the coin-operated paper towel machine, and the coin-operated telephone, you can go broke just doing your business.
Yeah.
Oh, and
don't forget to leave 50 cents to get yourself a condom on the way out.
Yeah, I remember some toilets in schools didn't even have no dividers in between them. Everybody just sit there on those on the can.
Yeah. Family style.
You're wide open.
Yeah. Hey, you want to pass me the roll of toilet paper? yeah. Of course, today that would violate every kid's morality or decency or make them ashamed or bullied or whatever. There'd be
violate something, wouldn't it?
Yeah,
they'd think of something.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah, we were in the woods.
You know, I tell you another thing now. I stay here near Anheuser-Busch.
Yeah.
And you could go down to the brewery and get a can of beer. You know, not a can, but a bucket.
Mm-hmm.
And a father would send his kid down to the brewery, and he would with a plain old bucket. It wasn't not a big bucket, maybe like, you know, you probably see them little buckets.
Yeah.
And he'd go and get the bucket of beer and walk it back home. Pay 50 cents or something like that.
Yeah.
Take it right off the tap of the tanks.
Oh,
they had glass tanks back then.
Well,
glass tanks covered in cart.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. We had a neighborhood grocery store in our neighborhood just on the edge of the project, and it was like cigarettes and beer weren't supposed to be sold to minors, but like if your mother called the store, the guy at the store put it in a brown paper bag, handed it to you and said, you go straight home with this because your mother will tell me if there's any cigarettes missing or any cans of beer missing, you know? And they used to let the kids come in and buy it for the parents and stuff because everybody trusted everybody and nobody was out to screw each other, you know?
Mm-hmm.
Today, somebody would do that only if they had a hidden camera on you to catch you doing it so they could get on Fox News or go live on the Internet. Yeah, it was a different time.
Yeah, the milkman would give you ice.
Yep.
To the kids.
Yeah.
Milkman. We could walk down the alleys and look in the backyard, see a peach tree, jump the fence, get you some peaches, and keep on going.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Walk down the sidewalk.
We had pumpkins and rhubarb, and like I said, when they built the project, it used to be farm country out there. So for years after they built the project that I grew up in, there was pumpkins and rhubarb and peppers growing wild and everything else, strawberries. We had tons of bushes for blackberry and raspberry, blueberries. And we'd just go down. I mean, we'd get buckets full. And then everything would be seasonal. It would rip through the project. You know, there'd be baseball card season. There'd be marbles, there'd be jacks, there'd be jump rope, there'd be blueberries that get squeezed in there, rhubarb would get, and you'd see all the kids in the project walking around with a little cup of sugar and a piece of rhubarb in their pocket.
We had a guy come down the street with a wagon selling fish.
Mm-hmm.
And also we had another guy who came down the street sharpening your knife with
a
little cart.
Yeah. And we had
women
the rag man.
That was poor used to trade sex for a fish. I had a friend that had, you know what the air condition was? They had this, they fill it up with ice cubes in the window unit.
Mm-hmm. Well, that
and
was
blow the air
pass right?
And air condition the room, cool the room down.
Well, that was the original air conditioning in the hotels. It was ice with a fan blowing on it, and they cooled the lobby in the luxury hotels. That was the original air conditioning. As a matter of fact, Bianchi, that's where the terminology, when you buy an air conditioner, how many tons it is, that's a rating system that came up on how many tons of ice would this replace. That's where that came from.
Mm-hmm.
And a ton of air conditioning capacity is 12,600 BTU per hour.
Yep.
It's pretty amazing. See, we grew up knowing all this stuff. The kids today have no idea.
Remember the old screw-in fuses?
Yep.
Mm-hmm.
Yep. And then they came out with screw-in circuit breakers. I found that out when I was 12 years old because I thought I invented it, and during the patent search it came up. It was already invented. The screw-in had a little button in the center to reset it.
That was my April Fool's joke. I'd go down in the basement of an apartment building and unscrew all the damn fuses.
Or replace it with a burnt-out one. Remember the slow-blow fuses? Remember when you had something with a big motor on it that would start, you know, and it took a while for the motor to crank up and get speed? And you had to get slow-blow fuses that would give you that 5 or 10 seconds of heavy draw so that to get your motor started. Otherwise, you'd blow those out.
And you had to know all this stuff. As an ordinary person, you had to know all this. You had to know how to bleed a furnace in case you ran out of oil.
Oh, yeah. Oh, we had to stoke a furnace.
Wow.
Stoke the furnace with coal. We had them old Ringer washing machines.
Yep. Had to keep your fingers out of the rollers for sure.
Get your finger out of the roller, yeah.
And you had to roll it over to the sink, put the hook in the sink, make sure it didn't blow out when it discharged the water. You had to know which side of the sink to put the hook so that the natural counter rotation of the earth would make the whirlpool go in the right direction. Otherwise, you would fill the sink. It wouldn't drain fast enough if you put the hook on the wrong side. You had to know all this stuff. I don't know,
right.
How to hook up a hose and not have water all over the place. We had clotheslines outside that you hung your clothes on a clothesline.
Yeah, and they had a pulley on one end so you can put one piece on at a time, pull the rope on the other side and take it out and pull it back in, pull your clothes back in.
Well, those were the high-end rich people in our neighborhood. Those were the private homeowners. But in the project, we had clothesline trees. It looked like a metal post about six and a half feet tall. Had a piece of pipe that ran lateral.
Yeah, I remember that.
Had the little hooks on it. You'd get 100 feet of clothesline, and you'd go back and forth, until you had four clotheslines there. They were about 8 inches apart, 9 inches apart, and you just hung your clothes. And you had to know which side, based upon where the wind was blowing, you knew which side to put your sheets and towels on, and the other side you put your socks and underwear, the short stuff. You had to know all this practical survival stuff, you know. You had to think it through.
We had to have toasted bread. You'd take a slice of bread, put little pieces of butter here, put it underneath the
broiler.
The broiler, yeah.
Yeah, and the stove, yeah. Do you remember the old toasters with the doors on the side? You put your bread on the door and folded it up, and then you pull it down, and you had to flip the bread over and push it back up against the side of the coils in there, and your bread had stripes on it from the coil. It had little lines on it from the coils heating it.
Right.
And it was the best tasting toast in the world. Toast has never tasted as good as it did when you made it with those old-fashioned toasters or broiled it in the broiler, like you said.
Mm-hmm.
It's never tasted. Put it in the thing and pop it out, it tastes dry, it tastes terrible. No, it tasted really good coming out of one of them old-fashioned toasters.
Hey, people back then used to hang their bread and some foods up in the sill and keep the rats from getting it.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, yeah. Oh, yeah. Yeah. Metal garbage cans to keep food. We had metal garbage cans, not plastic ones. Yeah. Your refrigerator had one big door on it, and when you opened it, the freezer had a separate door that pulled down. And they weren't magnetic. They had to mingle latch handles, click, click, to open them. Yeah. And your door had the little egg cups in the door to put your eggs in, molded right in the door. It was kind of cool. Like you say, it was a simpler time, and you spent a lot of time just getting the daily chores done of surviving, and everybody seemed to be happier. There was less stress and everything. Nobody was getting rich, but everybody was happier. It was a big deal to get together with your neighbors and play cards or watch a game on TV, if you had a TV. It was a big deal. And it was a big deal to everybody sit out on the porches at night and talk across the yard to each other. Hold whole conversation. Kids would be playing, and the parents would keep one eye on the kids and just be talking to each other in the neighborhood. And you didn't get away with anything, because if your mother didn't see you do it, the neighbor who saw you would rat you out to your mother.
Oh, yeah. You didn't think about dropping a piece of litter. You didn't think about littering.
Oh, no way. I mean, you did that, and everybody looked at you like, what are you, some kind of throwback? Genetically or something? This is our neighbor.
And your parents knew before you got home if you littered.
Oh, yeah. 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 You didn't mess outside your own tent. That was the rule. Everybody knew that.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Yeah, and there were some of the moms knew how to make Jell-O freeze pops and stuff, and take Lick-O-Maid Kool-Aid and make freeze pops out of it. So we used to go around the neighborhood looking for popsicle sticks that people had discarded. And they'd soak them in Clorox or Lysol to sterilize them, and then they'd make little freezy pops out of them. They had the mold and all that. They'd pour it in, put it in the fridge, and they were making their own little freeze
fruit-flavored Freezy Pops. That was kind of cool.
Yeah, those were the days.
Yeah, yeah. And, you know,
Mars.
Go down the woods.
Mars. Oh, yeah.
Yeah, cut up an old, go to one of the gas stations and get some blown-out old inner tube and cut it up for the elastic you needed to make your own slingshot. Go down in the woods. Go down the woods and spend, you know, a half a day looking for the perfect fork in a tree that you could branch that you could use for your slingshot, and then sit home and peel the bark off with a pocket knife, and then get some shoe polish to stain the wood and color it, and you know, and you'd spend all day long just to make a slingshot. Today the kids, you know, go buy them for it, you know, and it's like, why? That takes all the fun out of it.
Yeah, you can't carry a knife anyway because you can carry a concealed weapon nowadays.
Yeah, yeah. We used to make elastic guns too out of a board, a clothespin, and some inner tube cut up into big long elastics. We used to have army games with them and shoot each other with elastics.
Yeah, that's the thing though. We played with BB guns and everything else, and we weren't shooting up schools and all this stuff. You know?
No, we weren't. No, we weren't. You know, I mean, you know, you talk about our generation raised on violence. I mean, at the heyday in 59 or 1960, there were 26 Westerns on TV. There were nothing but a steady diet of World War II Army pictures that we saw, you know, and
yeah.
We didn't go around killing people.
Mm-hmm.
We ended up being the generation of peace that was anti-war by 68, and we were raised on nothing but a diet of war movies.
Even the cartoons with Bugs Bunny.
Oh, they were all, yeah, the cartoons were incredibly violent, too, yeah. Three Stooges. You want to talk about violent? I mean, they're actually smacking each other and beating each other and everything else.
Yeah, for a half hour, nonstop.
Yeah. Yeah. And we survived all that.
Yep. Well, sir, I'm going to get going, man. But
yeah,
you're talking
too.
To
I gotta get on to my real life.
Yeah, me
not
too,
not the
man.
Way it was. I got to go back to the way it is.
Yeah.
Y'all take care of yourselves.
You too, man. You have a good day.
You too. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. Bye-bye.
Stanley, if you're listening, take care, brother. Bye-bye.
Yep.
South Carolina, you too.